Hello,
Hello, how's it going?
hello. Yo, what's up?
What's up? It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while.
Yeah.
Hold on, let me press the button that makes my face show up on your screen. There we go.
Yes.
I love pressing that button. It really bridges the gap, you know?
Yeah. That's the main reason I still use this, just to bridge the gap with the button.
We need to bridge gaps more than ever right now, is the impression I'm getting from international politics.
Yes. Yeah, what which gap would you bridge first?
Right now,
Yeah.
I would definitely say between the Italian PM and her ex-boyfriend.
Ooh, nice.
Do you hear about the split?
No,
No.
no.
Yeah, it's brutal. Apparently, the fascist prime minister of Italy has or had a boyfriend, and apparently she dumped him because he was talking to other people about how he was looking for a foursome.
Oh, spicy
Wow.
boy.
I wasn't even aware
Which is
of
a
who
really
the.
Italian thing to do, you know? It's
Yeah.
like, yeah.
Yeah, I remember years ago, like Berlusconi, he was the first kind of dirty Italian prime minister that you'd hear about all the time.
Well,
Yeah, he sucks.
it's look, to mend the broken heart of the ultra fash, we need to immediately deploy Vosh Vidya over there like Kylie Jenner with a fucking Coke. Was it Pepsi?
Yeah, I need to be one of the foursome, is what you're saying. We need to bring them together with like me and a hot like Italian woman
Right.
who's blonde and has skin tanner than her hair is dark.
You open with the Diet Pepsi, and then behind, like from your other arm behind your back, it's just like a pile of condoms, lube, and edible sex toys and things like that. Be
Edible
fantastic.
sex toys. You
Yeah,
mean
yeah,
like the
yeah.
underwear?
Yeah, like the underwear. There's a bunch of different shit.
Do people actually use those, or is that purely a gimmick thing? Because if I'm fucking, I would never think like I want to start eating this like semi-edible underwear. I would never think that.
I have known one person who has attempted the edible underwear, and the only thing that they were willing to divulge was that it works about as well as you expect, which is not at all. It's a mess,
It seems more
you
like
know?
a gag gift than something
Yeah.
actually erotic that someone would
Well,
use.
it's made out of like a type of a gelatin, basically, and
Ugh.
like. You know, you like if you're wearing underwear, there's a lot of friction there between the whole crotchable area and your thighs, and that just kind of makes it into this big gooey mess. You know, it's not good. It's not good.
Yeah, it reminds me a bit. It's kind of like a worse version of fondant. Have you guys ever had anything that's like primarily made of fondant?
No, I don't even
No, I
know
don't
what
even
that
know what that
is.
is.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like okay. Oh, by the way, I'm streaming, so don't say the N-word.
We're about
Okay,
to
you.
stream soon, but
I was
okay,
just
you.
about to say the N-word. What?
Ohio, got you.
Damn it.
Just in time. Okay. You know that trend where it's like, oh, look, do you see this like basket full of fruits? This is actually a cake, and then a knife comes in and cuts it in half.
Oh,
Oh,
I know what you mean.
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so fondant is basically like a food material that you can print stuff onto. So you can like print an image
Wacky.
or paint one on, and fondant is used for a lot of like pretty baking food, but it's not very tasty, and I hate it because I think it kind of destroys it kind of destroys the like charm of making something beautiful out of food if you're basically just making normal food and then draping this edible sheet of sugar over it that just elevates it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I've ever eaten fondant
You might
before.
have. It's
Yeah.
just sweet. It's not that good. It's just like, yeah, it's sugar clay,
I hear
basically.
the CIA is
Weird.
putting that in everything these days.
We're gonna
Oh
get
yeah, for sure.
started on
Making
my
us
end
trans.
here. So we're gonna do it live. Here we go.
In the beginning, there was nothing. And then there was the Drunken Peasants Podcast.
I gotta get rid of this. No!
Say, man, you got a joint? No, not on you, man.
I don't have facts to back this up.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
That's true. Sometimes I cry.
Oh!
Lick my butthole, he laughed.
From the strangest corners of the internet, here to bring you opinions of the world from an altered perspective, here are your hosts. The Drunken Peasants.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Drunken Peasants podcast. This is episode 1259.
Doing it live.
We got Jeff Holiday back again. We got Vosh back again. Welcome back, guys. We appreciate
Once
you being
more
here.
Into the breach. Let's go.
What's up?
So, Vosh, how you been?
Pretty good. Working hard to solve the Israel-Palestine dispute. You know, I feel like I've made a lot of headway in the past couple of days. So hopefully that bears fruit soon.
So is this like a speed run challenge between you and Sean King then?
I could not believe, man. Okay, you know that tweet where it's like heartwarming person you already hated does something to validate your preconceived negative bias towards them or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
Sean King has done that for me 50 times. This might have been the best one.
It's pretty incredible. It's pretty wild. Like, there's a lot of things from, like, my old shitlord days where I was like, you know, maybe that person really wasn't so bad. And some actually even became my friends. And then there's some that are just like, you know, no, I was right about that one. I was definitely right about that one. And Sean King, I wear that like a feather in my cap, so that's okay. Keep validating my bad behavior from 5 years ago, Sean King.
Cha-cha. Yeah, wait, hold on. There are people in chat who are asking what happened. Do you want to
deal with what?
Oh, do you want to explain?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
The hostage. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, no, I was I was
the
right there, baby.
Peasants
I was right there.
Featuring Smooth Ben, Vush Bat, and founder of Kekistan, Jeff Holland.
That's one of them.
Smooth
that's
Ben,
one of them.
Because I shaved my beard like to the skin for the first time in a very long time, and
Smooth Ben.
I'm regretting it. I don't like Smooth Ben.
It's Uncanny Valley, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I was right there at the front lines of the meme war. Thankfully, I was never a part of Gamergate, but after that, anti-SJW, Skeptosphere, all that kind of stuff. I accidentally founded a hate movement. You know, the kind of stuff you just, when you're a scamp, when you're a little scamp like me,
we've,
you just kind of
we've all done a little trolling, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But when the dust cleared, and then you kind of like look behind you and you're like, oh no, oh boy. You kind of shift directions just a little bit. And it's only a little bit. You only got to do a little bit, and that little shift in direction, just like it gaps further you go, and then things get a lot better.
So what you're saying is that, you know, you may have done some bad things, but you did not snakishly try to take credit for the release of Hamas hostages.
True. I never did that. I've done some pretty abhorrent shit in the past, but you know what? I've never gone there. And it was never that ballsy, you know? I also never sold an online university or course system, you know? There's quite a few of those out from some of my my former contemporaries. Those are interesting.
Still fun.
Sure, yeah. I mean, God, it
You
pays.
Almost started a religion.
I did. I came really, really close, and then people really talked close. Me out of it. I still technically own the business entity of Scientarianism, but I pulled back from that one. People were like, it's a bad idea, dude. It's your heart's in the right place, but
yeah. So since I know we're edging some people to chat to, like, Sean King is like a dipshit would be journalist / activist, and he got into a public fight with the families of some of the hostages over his
oh my God.
Over how much he did to secure their release. So mm-hmm. basically, like, he's arguing with them, like, no, actually, I helped a lot. It's kind of like, who was that celebrity who was like, if I had been there on 9/11, it would have been different. Who was that again?
Elon?
No. It was like Mark something or yeah. Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, if I had been on that plane. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you something. If I was on that plane. Yeah,
you know, no. He's been trying to get a pardon for years because he was convicted of like a hate crime when he was a teenager, and he's been trying to clear his name for that forever. I don't think they're ever going to give it to him.
No.
How bad of a hate crime? Are we talking like a little
fucky-wucky? He blinded an Asian man and I think said that he was doing it because the guy was Asian. I think he was probably like 16 or 17.
he beat him within an inch of his life. He was a street thug. It was crazy. Yeah. Yeah, it was bad.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, that seems pretty bad, I guess.
Yeah.
Pretty bad. Yeah, I never did that.
If only he had put that energy towards the 9/11 hijackers.
I know. I know.
He should have saved it up. Maybe,
he would have gone after them because they're Arab. he wouldn't have even noticed the hijacking. He just would have saw like a different ethnicity, and he would have charged at them.
Wow, Mr. Wahlberg, how did you know that those guys are going to hijack the plane?
Hijack
now?
Yeah. You were having
a great night. Thank you so much, Coop Car. I appreciate it.
Woo.
Yeah, you know what? If Mark Wahlberg had not become a musician slash actor, he could have just worked for the TSA.
Yeah, honestly. Kind of a missed calling. Thank you for the donut, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so we need a Mark Wahlberg in Gaza right now, basically.
I think he'd be too indiscriminate to be effective, you know. Although it might ban them all together because he's running around just beating the shit out of everybody, and they're like, we both have to come together to do something about this motherfucking Mark Wahlberg. What the
fuck?
Yeah,
it'd be like Watchmen. It would be like the giant interdimensional tentacle alien of the Israel-Palestine conflict. It would just be Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, it'd just be this drunk Bostonian running around screaming obscenities and beating the shit out of people in the street. It can't be stopped.
Make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Racist Rambo, aka Rambo. So how are you guys doing?
Doing all right. I'm doing this diet, this intermittent fasting where I only eat every other day, and every day I don't eat is hell. But I'm seeing results, but it's pretty ridiculous. The days
so
I
you're
don't
starving
eat.
Yourself.
Yes.
Yeah,
that sounds wretched. I don't think I could do it, to be honest.
I'm 3 months in and I've lost like 25 pounds, but I've slipped up twice. I've slipped up twice where I ate 2 days in a row because I was like, fuck it, I'm eating. But most of the time I've just ate every other day, and I try not to eat too much on my eating day.
That was when we were in Portland.
That's one of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I went to Bumbershoot, the Bumbershoot Music Festival in Seattle, and there was like a pizza stand there, and I was like, fuck it, I'm eating pizza.
Listen, man, having to be, party to my literal crimes, that'll make you eat. It'll make you eat.
Yeah.
Still haven't gotten that pumpkin back that I stole from that bar, but that's not here the
night. He stole a pumpkin from a bar.
I was very drunk.
Well, it's seasonal. And what were they going to do with it anyway?
Yeah.
Wait, is it a toy pumpkin or is it a real pumpkin?
No, it was a full pumpkin. I tried to hide it under my jacket. It didn't work, so I just walked out with it. It's very stupid.
Well, they wouldn't want to fight you because you have the pumpkin.
My favorite That's guest true. On DP.
Aw, thank you very much, Logic Blaster. I'm doing the opposite of Ben. Tonight I made pork chops marinated for 6 hours, potatoes au gratin, and I made a fucking spinach and mushroom quiche with chèvre. So, yeah, it was
very
decadent.
Mean. You're being very mean right now.
Yeah, you're killing me.
I got an air fryer, so for the past, like, 2 weeks, my primary meal of every day has been I take, like, 5 golden potatoes and I scallop them and I toss them in there with a fuckload of salt and pepper, and then I'm just very happy.
Delicious.
Eating
them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
Absolutely.
Sounds good. I try to eat more heavy foods because before I used to try to count calories. You know, I was still eating every day, but I was meticulous about calories and doing cardio and stuff. And now I just eat every other day. I just eat nothing. On my off days, all I can have is water, black coffee, or tea. No sugar, no cream, nothing like that. And that's all I consume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is fun for you.
It's not fun. No, it's not fun. But being fat was less fun, and I was like the fattest I had ever been in my life. I'm only 5'8", and I was like 205 pounds at my heaviest.
Yeah.
I had nearly 300. I had a much higher ceiling. I could not eat for a day.
It's I didn't think I could, but I got used to it. So. I'm not doing it forever. Once I get to my goal, then I'll try to figure out something, you know, to maintain.
About the time that the pandemic hit, I had so I was great during the beginning of the pandemic. I was thriving. I'm like, dude, yes, finally the fucking end of the world. Let's go. And then when it was obvious it wasn't going to be the end of the world, I fell into a depression where I didn't eat for 6 weeks. I just drank nothing but IPAs. And I lost like 35 pounds. You could try that, Ben.
No, I'm fine. I'm just fine with how this is working.
It turns out the world very rarely ends. It just gets worse. So it turns out, because everyone says that, right? Like, what is the end, really? I mean, it's just worse but fast. Well, we're actually getting worse but slow. Maybe fast sometimes.
For most people, I would say the end of the world is the end of humanity. That's what they're speaking about, like, when they say that, right? Is that how you normally take it, or you take it as just, like, the earth is dead?
I mean, I think we're pretty resilient. I probably like the end of humanity.
Yeah.
Who else is going to document shit after we're done? But like, even then, people always say like, oh, it's the end. I don't really think we're going to end, right? Like, even in some big nuclear scenario, I don't really think that's going to happen. I just think things are going to get a lot worse for some, you know, indeterminate length of time.
I always kind of picture it like in the post-apocalyptic kind of notion of, it's not really the end of humanity, it's the end of civilization as we know it, you know, like... everything is shuttered. People have to scavenge or band together or whatever. It's the opposite of the singularity. It's like this de-evolution where all of the bullshit that clutters our lives is now gone.
I can't believe how much Vosh is the reversed Andrew date. He's eloquent,
fun, oh goodness,
and looking very dapper for the ladies in his new shirt collection. Shame he's only interested in male horses.
Yeah, shame I don't have. I'm also the reverse Andrew Tate in terms of physique as well. So we gotta work on that one. Thank you. Yeah.
You have to become a reverse world kickboxing champion, whatever that is.
In every way possible. You know, just like the dark mirror to their achievements. Yeah, well, I'm glad the world hasn't ended, because if it did, I wouldn't be able to get my golden potatoes for a couple bucks at the local store.
You know what the reverse Andrew Tate, like, well, no, okay. I was trying to think of, like, what would be the reverse of, world-renowned kickboxer. And the first thing I thought of as far as the physicality was, like, whatever martial arts Steven Seagal pretends to know. That might work, maybe.
Yeah.
Steven Seagal is fucking hilarious. He's, like, isn't he in with Putin? Like,
yes.
He's in with a Russian oligarch.
I think he has Russian citizenship.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Very, very funny. I wonder if there's a reverse Steven Seagal where there's an obnoxiously like American Russian who does all the same bits, but in the other direction.
That would be interesting. Well, and also he's like super hyper masculine and everything. It could be that one TikTok personality, Vladimir. Do you know that guy?
No.
He shows up looking like this uwu e-girl kitten princess with like Barbie shirts and everything, and the angle is perfect, the makeup's on point, and like talks to them for a couple of seconds, and then he like turns to the side and flexes, and he's fucking ripped as shit. Go deep voice, yeah. That might be the opposite.
Steven,
that has to be Americanized, because being gay and wearing feminine clothing is illegal in Russia at the moment.
True. I think he lives in America, if I'm not mistaken. But,
I saw Pussy Riot perform at Bumbershoot in Seattle. You know those women? They got like arrested by Putin, and he like sent Cossacks to beat the shit out of them when they protested at the Olympics in Russia. Mm-hmm. Like Putin threw them in jail a bunch of times. I saw them at Bumbershoot. It was really crazy because I never thought I'd ever see them. I just thought that they'd like stay in prison forever or something. I don't know.
Turned out they followed me on Twitter recently.
Oh, yeah?
So I followed back, and they've been doom posting for a while. I think this is why we have to transition to green energy, okay? Because like 90% of the world's crazy dictatorships all survive on oil exports. So that, like, it's very, very easy for them. If everyone had to get like their fucking solar panel parts from factories all over the world, it would be almost impossible to be a crazy dictator.
Speaking of music, did you know Steven Seagal released a reggae album?
Reggae?
It's very bad.
It's amazing.
He's an eclectic individual.
Yeah, it has such amazing lines as "Me one da punani." It's pretty great. That's not a joke.
Me one da punani.
Serious. Yeah, me wonder punani. You can actually just like search on YouTube for Steven Seagal me wonder punani, and you spell it just like that, and you'll
vaguely
find it.
Racist. I'm shocked that Steven Seagal would be problematic.
It's incredible.
Is punani like? Okay, maybe I'm the racist. Is punani AAVE? I don't even know who says that. Where is that from?
I think it's a pretty old adage, honestly. What is the etymology?
It's one
of
those
punani?
Things. Yeah, it's one of those things where I know what it means, but I don't know where it came from at all.
Punani. It's just a goofy word. It's just, you know, it's a cartoon word. It's a silly, silly word.
Okay, from
someone
Jamaican
says Jamaican
Creole.
Yeah,
yeah, from Jamaican Creole.
Yes,
punani,
it was racist.
From, possibly influenced by English poon for vagina, or French putain, or from Hawaiian puanani, beautiful flower. Interesting.
I love it.
Well, see, it means beautiful flowers. So really, you can use the word punani. You're being inclusive.
You're like Georgia O'Keeffe
in culture, and you're being complimentary. Yeah, you're calling her. She's they're a beautiful flower. You know, it's fine.
Yeah. Well, still a extremely weird word.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm feeling chill vibes today, which I like because I am actually fucking exhausted today.
Good.
I've had the worst month with regards to energy levels because I have been fighting to get my Adderall. I've been searching for my Adderall as one would like a hidden idol in a lost Aztec temple. You know, I'm searching and struggling. And I keep getting hit by setback after setback. But I think tomorrow I'm actually going to get it. You know, I've said that before, but we'll see.
My suggestion is if you know anybody who works in the service industry, see if they can ask the servers at the restaurant. They'll probably know.
Yeah, probably. Everyone's having trouble getting it right now. It's just shortage all across the board. You got to call like a million pharmacies. And a lot of them don't even pick up, you know. But yeah. to compensate for my inability to get stuff done medicated, I've been trying very hard to just get stuff done anyway, like skill issue. And as a product of that, I did a bunch of cleaning the other day. So I'm tired both because I'm unmedicated and because my back hurts because I'm sore.
Excellent.
Yeah, I remember when I took Adderall, I would wake up the next morning and just feel drained until I took it again. I stopped taking it eventually. It's been years. But it
I've been a watcher for many years, but almost never watch live. Couldn't miss my two favorite guests.
Vosh, nice.
Have you heard the Blast Radius Horse Cock song?
I cannot. Vosh, I can't escape Vance. It.
It's the free Adderall extended release and is far more available.
It's not the exact same drug. I've tried Vyvanse and I've tried Ritalin. Adderall's the shit.
How about cocaine?
yeah, that's. It might be easier to get at this point, honestly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I tried a tea made out of cocoa leaves, and it was I want it forever now. Last time I was up in Canada, I was hanging out with Adam in Canada, and we went to this store where they make this cocoa leaf tea. It's like a cafe. And yeah. we drank some of it, and I felt so energized. I was like, I want this to be my morning coffee every day.
Sure.
Can we make it happen?
Absolutely. I mean, look, I'm going to be totally honest here. Legalize all drugs. You know, I've held that position for a really long time. You know, if people are going to do things with coca leaf or, God forbid, cocaine. I mean, don't get me wrong. I've done my body weight in fucking cocaine. All right.
Okay.
I haven't for a long time, but it's fucking disgusting how they make it. It's foul.
It's
like
one
of the most disgusting processes.
Wait, how
ever.
Do they make cocaine?
Oh my God! So many fucking different chemicals as they reduce and cook the shit out of the leaf, wash it in fucking gasoline. I mean, it's disgusting, disgusting. I think Louis Theroux was it went into the jungle in Colombia and got to meet a guy that makes cocaine, and he documented the whole process. And it's just fucking disgusting, dude.
To be fair, wouldn't that be the case for like? Basically every drug we take, right? Like, I mean, if you go through a pharmaceutical process, I'm sure it's like, in this step they put it through super acid, and then in this step they like, you know, they get this chemical that you can only find from the asshole of like an orangutan, and they bleach it with that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for sure. I suppose it's more like, I'm pretty sure there are other chemicals you can use instead of gasoline, you know, And the process by which they make it is toxic. It's foul. The nature of like how people are compelled or sometimes forced into the manufacture of a lot of these drugs is pretty fucked up too. But yeah, so there's like, and in drug culture, especially with cocaine, there's always this thing of like, yo, dude, this is the purest stuff I've ever gotten. This is like straight cartel coke, man. And that doesn't mean shit. It could still be like uncut without something extra added to it. It's still fucking disgusting. It's still gross how they make it.
Vosh, so. did you see Cenk Uygur and Piers Morgan talk about the Israel-Palestine thing that was going on?
No, I saw Hassan talk about it with Piers Morgan. I can't imagine the conversation with Cenk went that much better. Piers Morgan is such an empty suit, man. There's like very, very little of a conversation you can have with him in the best case scenario.
Yeah, he's a okay. Well, but here's the question that I have for you before we get into this.
Mm-hmm.
Who is more despicable and foul? Is it Piers Morgan or is it Bill Maher? Because that's a question I struggle with sometimes, and I have my reasons for it, but I think it's a valid question.
Fuck, I don't know. They're bad in such different... Piers Morgan is more like of a slimy suit. Bill Maher is like a hardcore conspiracist who probably actually believes the stupid shit that he says. I don't really know. They're like slimy in different ways. It's kind of hard to say.
I think I like Bill Maher better out of the two because Bill Maher is actually funny to me sometimes. Like he said, like he's a comedian and sometimes he makes me laugh. And Piers Morgan's not funny to me. He's just kind of
like. When was the last time Bill Maher made you laugh?
I was about to say the same
thing. I mean, I've seen some of his stand up before. I don't know. I didn't like keep a log of it, but I'm being asked to choose between the two, so I picked one.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
no, might get that. Yeah, some old videos probably because he has turned into the most like smarmy, self-righteous, obnoxious motherfucker. I can deal with a lot of shit if it's packaged funny, right? Like Dave Chappelle, you know. I don't get like the same kind of immediate disgust reaction from him, even after he put out like what three comedy specials that are all about how I don't know fucking trans women or men. He's whatever weird shit he's on because at least he's funny, right? Bill Maher is so insufferable these days. He's like who am I thinking of? Am I thinking of Hitchens or not Hitchens? Right, that like new atheist guy who was the smuggest motherfucker on the planet.
Hitchens was one of the new atheist guys. I'm just not sure.
Was it Hitchens?
Or do you mean Dawkins?
Really annoying one.
Sam Harris.
Dawkins. I think I mean Dawkins. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Fucking yeah, that guy.
Dawkins is pretty fucking insufferable too. I mean, I hate to be that guy, but it really is just like the attitude that they employ is just off putting.
Before we watch the Cenk Piers Morgan thing. I just want to show these to you guys. Have either of you guys been to the Gum Wall before?
Yes. I hate the Gum Wall.
No.
Okay. There's a wall. There's an alleyway near the Pike Place Market in Seattle where people stick their used chewing gum all over the walls. And
gross.
It's kind of a weird tourist attraction. And I saw this video today and I'm like scarred for life by it. So just a trigger warning. If anyone has gum trigger, check this out.
Absolutely not. Oh, man.
This is a kink. This is kink posting. This reminds me of that one video of the sex worker who posted a picture of her or a video of her licking a toilet seat that made everyone lose their mind. The difference being, you know for a fact that they like bleached that shit clean, like cleaner than any surface on earth before doing that video. But you can't do that for a gum wall. So this bitch is raw dogging like every herpes carrier. In Seattle.
I do want to point out that Billy has done something like this. He pulled one off and chewed on it for a couple seconds.
That's
one time.
Worse.
Yeah, he like we were doing a stream where we were walking around down there and he asked these girls to pick which one they like best and he pulled one off and gnawed on it for a little bit. Yeah, so.
Did that's that work? Disgusting. The girls like that? Is that the strat that I need to pick up?
I guess so. Yeah, I think they did enjoy it. I think they liked it.
Whatever.
Because they stuck around the whole time.
Ugh.
All right. So now,
thank you.
All right. So we'll decide what grosses us out more, this or Piers Morgan.
Well, joining us to discuss it,
fair.
Is the founder of the world's most influential progressive online channel, The Young Turks, a Democratic presidential hopeful.
Why is he running for president?
Oh, you know. I don't fucking know, dude. He's a wacky guy. I feel like he's just trying to get money to, like, cobble together donation funds and to get people to buy his book and stuff. I've heard the TYT Network isn't doing that hot at the moment, like, monetarily. Hmm. I don't know, man. He's being real wacky. I met him in D.C. like a month ago. He did not look very happy to see me.
Vush and Jeff on the show
together. I wouldn't expect it.
Wonderful. Now we can have a real game of gay chicken. Bill Maher is getting worse every day. His Club Random podcast is insufferable.
Gay chicken is better played between two completely straight men where they act. It's basically like who can act gayer towards each other without like full, like you get as close to you as you can without full on butt fucking, basically.
Yeah, I mean, think that works when you're straight, but. Wait, Jeff, you're under guys, right?
Yeah. I'll put it this way. So me and Joe hung out one time in Portland, and he decided to play gay chicken with me until he realized I wasn't fucking playing.
Right.
Yeah, that's literally like a fucking yaoi doujin reaction image or something. Like when the guy you've been playing gay chicken, when you realize the guy you've been playing gay chicken with is not in fact playing gay chicken. You know, if you're both really good at it, you have like a gay guy and a straight guy who both just fucked each other, and the straight guy's like, well, shit, I don't know. You're really good at this, man.
You're a natural.
You're a fucking natural. I've been holding out this whole time. You know, where do we go next? They just marry.
Yeah.
That's Cenk Uygur. Cenk, great to have you on the program. Thank you very much indeed for joining me. I'll be following your tweets with interest this week. You've been getting increasingly angry, I think it'd be fair to say. You said, I'm now enormously frustrated by U.S. and Israeli governments.
You know, he tried to run for what, Senate or something, and he couldn't even win a primary or anything, so why?
There was a special election in California for a House rep seat, and he did quite poorly.
Yeah.
That was like that for me. It was that, and it was the Joshua for Congress guy in Washington that were like the two big examples of how internet clout does not a candidacy win. You know?
Oh,
translate.
I'll give you two more examples, but it's in another country. It was Dankula and Sargon running over in the UK.
Oh, no.
It's like being popular online actually makes you a worse candidate somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Arakats in Gaza. I will not be shy in sharing that opinion on Piers Morgan's show today. Why are you so frustrated?
Yeah. Well, honestly, I didn't expect the framing that you put on this segment. And it's framing like that. That's disgusting. So I don't see what this has anything to do with anti-Semitism. I formed Young Turks and TYT with two Jewish friends who are some of my...
I feel like the anger that he has is played up a lot. They had a documentary that they funded themselves. It was called, like, Mad as Hell. That was the title of it. So I think he wants to kind of have that persona as, like a tough guy who's mad all the time. You saw how he was acting when Alex Jones broke into their set, and he was like, we talk about Saudi Arabia all the time! You know?
Oh, yeah. That was incredible.
Yeah.
I am.
Friends growing up, we've known each other and been brothers for over 40 years now. So I think what Hamas did is disgusting. I cry for those Israeli innocent civilians. But do I see you guys crying for Palestinians? I mean, Chris Christie was just on here treating it like it's no big deal because what, Palestinian lives don't matter? I think the real bigotry here is saying that Palestinians, we can kill three times as many of them already, and this is the appetizer. Netanyahu and his barbaric government have not even started the entree of murder and death and mayhem they're about to do, and that's somehow okay, killing three times.
Is it wrong that every time I hear Netanyahu, I literally think of Net and Yuhu? Like how that stuck in my brain forever? You know, remember Kanye when he had the net in the bottle of Yuhu?
Oh, Christ. Yeah. No, okay. Yeah, I'd forgotten about that. Yeah.
It is really cool right now how, like, half of all journalists in the Western world, their job right now is to like, look you directly in the eye and say, so you oppose genocide. Can you answer to this horrendous anti-Semitism you've just expressed? You know, and that's just the entire discourse. I'm reminded of the Palestinian representative from the Palestinian Authority rep who was doing interviews in BBC. He was doing like five a day, man. He was like racing between studios, and he found that some members of his family had been killed in Israeli airstrike. And one of the BBC interviewers opened with, "Hey, just heard that some of your family members died. That sucks. Hey, do you condemn Hamas?" Like, not even an exaggeration, not even a little bit of an exaggeration. Like, holy shit. And that's just all journalists right now. That's what you go to journalism school for. It's how to disingenuously weaponize anti-Semitism to cover up for war crimes.
Mm-hmm. That's powerful. That's a powerful move there. Like, hey, yeah, sorry about your family. Do you condemn?
As many Palestinian civilians, let alone the occupation, which is bigotry by definition. We say that everyone in the world can defend themselves, can have their own state, can have sovereignty, except the Palestinians. And the reasoning behind that is the Palestinians are what? They're what? The idea is that they are savages and that Muslims are too violent and cannot control themselves. So they must be occupied for 56 brutal, disgusting years. So I've had enough of the bigotry against Muslims and Palestinians. And I need you to speak out against that instead of covering every outrageous, atrocious action of the right-wing government of Israel and going, oh, it's anti-Semitism. No, and there is global anti-Semitism. There's anti-Semitism here in this country. Two synagogues were shot up, Pittsburgh and in Southern California. We fight against that all the time. But then whenever Israel is criticized, people go, oh, no, it's anti-Semitism. No, there's real anti-Semitism. Instead of attacking that, all you guys ever do is hide behind the veil of anti-Semitism. Do you know why Palestinians might not like Israelis? Because they've been oppressed for 56 straight years.
This is Cenk's greatest strength as a commenter and as an interviewer. It's that he never shuts the fuck up, and he's very loud. It's actually incredibly useful. He's like a truck, like beep beep. He just like rams straight through the conversation. It's a very powerful rhetorical tactic, especially when your opponent, Piers Morgan in this case, is a giant pussy cuck like Piers Morgan is. So it's especially effective when you're fighting a wet noodle of a person, you know, finger quotes around person like Piers, because, you know, all he can really do is sort of ineptly go like, excuse me, so it's my turn. It's mom said you have to let me speak as well. And Cenk just doesn't give a fuck. And it's very respectable.
I hear you. And let me respond. I'm not you guys. I don't think I fit into any neat fit on this issue at all.
Trans Piers Morgan.
B, I've actually...
Piers Morgan, they, them.
But the story,
yeah,
I think...
Piers Morgan with the guys is not a gender-neutral addresser, by the way.
More fairly than most people. I've had many pro-Palestinian voices I've given a huge platform for. They've been getting enormous audiences from Bassem Youssef to others. And I've done that quite deliberately because I think these voices are important to be heard, including yours. I certainly wasn't accusing you, by the way, or your organization of anti-Semitism. I just think I have found it, as somebody who's always identified as liberal myself, I've found it very dispiriting to see people who call themselves liberals whose instant response, it seemed to me, to one of the worst terror attacks we've ever seen was to immediately side with the place where these attacks have been launched from. Now, I don't tar all Palestinians with the brush of being Hamas at all. And in fact, the sooner Hamas are out of there, the better for the Palestinian people and the world. But I just think the only human response you can have is, as you did, by the way, to your credit, is it was disgusting what happened on October the 7th. Now, the question then becomes, what is a proportionate response by Israel? Not just the terror attacks of October the 7th.
Can I just say how, like, mascot... So there are a lot of lefties whose immediate response to the attack from Hamas was to do this, like, oh, Hamas are, like, revolutionary. Oh, they're fighting back against their oppressor, which is dumb because Hamas is, like, an Islamic jihadist org that doesn't give a fuck, and they all want to get their virgins in heaven or whatever. Like, it's, they're not a good org. We do not need to stand under no circumstances, blah, blah. But Cenk is not, like, a Twitter lefty. I'm positive that Cenk at no point was like, yeah, go Hamas or whatever. So the fact that he still has to do this performative, like, condemn Hamas bit, or like Piers Morgan is like, oh, well, I'm glad you at least acknowledge that Hamas is bad, shows, like, it's so fucking disingenuous, you know? Like, there's never, like, if it's like, if Hamas did not exist, Israel and Zionists would construct one, which they did. Hamas didn't exist. And then Netanyahu worked to fund and promote Hamas and basically disempower their alternatives. So, you know, that we live in that world.
Yeah, I had to look it up because I didn't really know the history of Hamas and that it, you know, it's been around for over 30 years and that it was like an offshoot of the Muslim Brotherhood, which is a name we used to hear a lot during, you know, like the U.S. wars in the Middle East, like Afghanistan and Iraq and stuff like that. We would hear like Muslim Brotherhood all the time, but I didn't really know the origin of that. So I didn't know. So like it was Netanyahu that kind of propped them up. While he was
Hamas. Sorry, I just want to say Hamas was they came about basically like in the 80s, and you know obviously Palestinian people don't have a lot of hope in a diplomatic solution with regards to their plight. So the idea of like radical Islamism as a solution, you know, like would you rather die to an airstrike or would you rather die like fighting for your people? That kind of shit, you know. Same thing happens everywhere. Mujahideen, Al Qaeda, like everywhere, right? Bibi Netanyahu, and this is all like an open secret, right? Like it's none of this is like a conspiracy. He and his government spent decades like making Hamas the only option for the Palestinian people by cutting off diplomatic routes, literally arresting members of their opposition and classifying them as terrorist organizations. And he's explicitly said he wants there to be like a religious Islamist leadership in Palestine, because the main thing that Israel wants is to make sure that they don't get the denunciation of the international community, and it makes Israel look much better if they're fighting against crazy jihadists and not like, say, I don't know, a secular humanist organization, which is what was there originally, and they got replaced, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Sorry.
I mean, that's
very like, unfunny ramble.
No, that makes sense.
Totally fine. I'm glad you said it, because like out of all of the Middle Eastern countries and like the histories and how they developed and whatnot, Palestine and Hamas, everything that happens in Gaza is the one that I know the least amount. And there's a reason for that, mostly because you can't really say anything about the issue without getting crucified by at least somebody. But I do think that's fascinating, because that's like a tried and true method that has happened in the Middle East many, many times. You know, the destabilization of Iran was specifically to combat, a more left wing push and to destabilize the region into something that is going to be more amenable to a very specific conservative foreign affairs bent. And it's really strange. Like the enemy of peace really is people's fear of you know, secularism, like you were saying, of liberal ideas, of tolerance. And that doesn't pay. It doesn't pay for people who are trying to stay in control.
Obviously, there is now a huge ongoing escalation in what has been, as you rightly say, a 56-year war, effectively, in varying degrees over that period. And that's where I think I'm struggling to see how ground invasion by Israel, with all that would entail, particularly mass deaths of Palestinian civilians, how that is going to do anything for any peaceful resolution to this. I think it will have the opposite effect.
Yes. So let's take it one at a time. First of all, as you rightly point out, on Young Turks, we covered the atrocious actions of Hamas right from the get-go, and we condemned it as fully as anyone can possibly condemn it. Because not only are they killing those poor, innocent Israelis that didn't do anything, those little babies and the grandmothers, it's disgusting what they did. But on top of that, They're ruining the Palestinian cause. They've burned the moral high ground to cinders. And then on top of that, they smear.
This is stupid.
It's chink, of course it is.
Yeah, this is really fucking dumb. So first of all, like, this environment where you have to spend 15 minutes performatively denouncing the group that everyone dislikes. Like, yeah, oh, in the Western world, there's just so much love for Hamas. Like, yeah, this is definitely like an issue we have to, you know, settle and really work the details out on. And for two, this, like, the moral high ground being burnt, you know, which is fucking bullshit. This would be like saying, like, oh, yeah, well, I used to be anti-slavery, but then there was the slave revolt, and the revolting slaves, like, killed a bunch of innocents. So now it's like, eh. Like, what the fuck does Hamas have to do with the moral question of the treatment of the Palestinian people? The answer is nothing, literally nothing. Yeah. Totally disconnected issues. But the connection of them, the idea of, like, oh, well, because Hamas is bad, that means that the treatment of the Palestinian people is more justified, is literally the definition of collective punishment, which is what Israel has been doing for decades, is doing now, and is literally a war crime. Like, that logic is a war crime in and of itself.
What would you figure would be the most efficient way to purge Hamas from, like, the Palestinian population to, like...
Concede land.
Okay.
Say, hey, we fucked up. Sorry for genociding you for decades. Haha, Lamau. Here's land. We're giving you these territories here. We're, like, giving you this West Bank territory back and, like, a bridge between that and Gaza. Not a bridge, like a land bridge, whatever, connection. And also, we're going to give you resources as reparations so you can rebuild. Hamas becomes irrelevant the nanosecond the diplomatic option is available. Like, the Palestinian people experienced decades of genocide before Hamas even came to exist. So I feel like if the people there got even a taste of hope in a different direction, like, nobody would tolerate Hamas. They wouldn't, like, instantly it'd be like done, you know?
Yeah. And so, and if the Palestinians had, like, a level of sovereignty over themselves,
that'd be nice. Yeah. You know, ideally.
Yeah. It's one of those things too. Like, I mean, when people try and compare these two types of things, because, again, like, I don't want to say too much because I'll be speaking out of ignorance. But yeah, when you do have those kind of conversations, you know, I think that's a pretty valid point, because Palestinians haven't been, like, encroaching on Israeli lands, like, that just hasn't happened. But the reverse has. The reverse obviously has. Like, you can see it. It's been proven. You know, maybe draw them a border. Like, I don't know. Maybe it would work. Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, the power differential here is so massive, right? Like, it took Hamas everything they had to do this. Like, they killed, what, like 1,300 civilians? Atheists, which is a lot of people.
Religious holy wars and theocracy.
True.
Yeah.
But, like, that took everything they had. Everything Israel has is nuclear weapons. So in terms of, like, proportionate retribution, like, Hamas has to do everything. Like, Hamas has to overextend massively to do what Israel did three times over in the week since the attack in terms of, like, civilian casualties. Mm-hmm. So, like, the level of power, like, the ability to put this to an end, right? Hamas doesn't have that, obviously. If they could, they would. Israel does. So, you know, it's really only one direction forward, I guess.
Yeah.
So deeply fun conversations, the fun topic, you know, it's been a rough fucking news week, or sorry, it's been a rough news cycle.
Yeah.
I say hi to my postman and I'm like, hey, what's up? And he's like, hey, followed what's been going on in Gaza. It's like, fuck, give me out. I go to the convenience store. I'm like, hello, I would like six Reese's peanut butter cup duo bags. And they're like, oh, that's great. You know who doesn't have food? I'm like, god damn it. Fucking hell.
Yeah. No, I've almost completely disappeared from Shitter or whatever the fuck it's called now, purely because it's like there's nothing else happening. There's nothing else that people are talking about. And there's other shit that I'm actually interested in, but nobody's talking about it. It's all just this. And so
it's a very divisive topic, I've noticed. Yeah.
It super is.
Yeah.
I had to put my foot down earlier today. I was just doing a really casual little stream because City Skylines 2 came out. Very excited about that. And this guy started asking me about it. And I stopped the whole stream and I'm like, look, I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm telling this to everybody. You only get one. You can ask me about it once. And if you ask me out again, I'm just banning you from the channel. I will not be baited into it. Fuck that. Fuck that conversation. I'm done.
Do you think you could kind of, like, No, you're like, I'm going to take a break from this. I'm done with this news cycle. I'm going to relax. I'm going to play some games. And then you just sort of fall into a trance while playing City Skyline 2 until you realize that you've built kind of a long city along the water. And then there's a small neighborhood, a rectangular neighborhood down by its corner that has really bad services. And you're like, fuck! God! Fuck! 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 Just recreate.
I just randomly decided to shut off all sewage and electricity. And
yeah,
water
literally, just the, like, yeah. And you're like, why did I do? God damn, just keep accidentally recreating.
it's just my casual genocide simulator. It's
you probably could do that. Man, I got to try City Skylines too. I wasn't that sold in the first one, mostly because they did something that I really didn't like. I know you can fix everything with mods, but I tend not to get mods. I remember them saying in development, when they were building the first game, they initially had a realistic city layout, like it would actually build out the way normal city would, but they were doing it like American style, like everyone drives to work, and they realized if we did this realistic, 2/3 of the map would be parking lots, like always. So they just made it. Every building now has invisible underground parking, and that bothered me because it's like, no, like that's a lesson. Like now that we're building the city, it's like, oh, maybe it's really dumb to have everyone carry a 2-ton metal brick with them every single fucking place they go. So I'm really hoping walkable neighborhoods are more of a like a starter option.
There's a lot of policies that you can do to counteract that. And in City Skylines 1, like I combated that a lot by always making my cities more walkable cities are really, really good mass transit. But in this one, there's actually even a tab just for fucking parking. Like you can map out your parking and you can see like how much it's gonna be and try and work that down as much as possible. It's pretty interesting. I mean, the game is made for people with autism. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's absolutely fantastic.
One of many autism game categories popping off. Autistic people feasting at the moment. I feel.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt the Israel.
No, that's fine. I
don't mind at all, man.
I didn't know much about autistic game categories, so I'm fascinated.
Well, you know, I don't know. There's a Venn diagram between just getting into gaming e-girl stuff and autistic gaming, and that's The Sims. The Venn diagram where they meet is The Sims. Because,
yeah, The
like,
Sims is girl autism. That's girl-coded autism. Yeah,
it is. It's girl-coded autism. It's fucking fantastic. Also, you can commit hate crimes in The Sims. So that's also, there might be something there.
I'm a feminist. I've always said women can be autistic too.
Yeah, I've always said that women can commit hate crimes just as good as men, but they just don't. It's no ambition.
I'm always
there.
Saying this. Yeah, they don't because they're stupid and weak, but they could.
I was just thinking that they haven't had the right girl boss to come along and be like,
listen, it's Mark ladies. Wahlberg, not Marcy Wahlberg, all right?
Yeah. I played The Sims once and a bunch of them died and I was like, I don't really like this.
That's the best part.
Is Minecraft in the autistic game category?
It's the category. Okay.
What about RuneScape? Is that another one?
That might be more in the peripheral, I feel.
Roblox. How about that one?
I think Roblox is just everyone below 18 now.
Okay.
Fine. It's not doing
having fun over there?
I'm not doing anything right now. It's totally fine.
I was playing some Minecraft with Yolo Swag Studios and Beetle Moses earlier today.
Oh,
and they discovered the End City for the first time. It's very funny.
Nice.
What was I saying? The main thing that gets me about autism games is not End City, the Dark City, the Deep Dark City, the Spooky City. Not the End City. Yeah, sorry, I forgot. Not. The main thing that gets me about the autism games, I like games that end. Okay, that's why I like Subnautica, because that game is a fucking end. Terraria is the primo, because with Terraria you can build your big cities. You there's a lot of like shit to do or whatever, but like you can definitively beat Terraria by beating the Moon Lord, and that's like that feels like an ending. You can keep playing if you want, but like that feels like an ending. But beating the dragon in Minecraft, it doesn't really feel like an ending. You can do that like in no time if you want. Yeah. There's not much of a build up to it. It's just kind of there, you know?
That's true. That's true.
I like when games end. And City Skylines doesn't end. I want to see, are there like challenge maps? That's what I want.
Yeah, there
challenge
are.
Maps. You have like 2 years to get this many population and this balanced of a budget. Good luck.
Yeah.
That's
yeah, you can do that. Yeah, absolutely. They have those.
I've definitely played some never ending games like MMORPGs that never end. They just go on forever. Yeah.
I used to do like top tier rating in WoW. I was one of the best ranked mythic healers for a time during Legion.
Wow.
In my server, not in the world. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I had a 9-year obsession with Star Wars Galaxies, and I still to this day play Guild Wars 2. So, yeah.
Guild Wars 2 was so good.
Oh, it's still good. It's still good. It's still, oh man, it gets better every single goddamn release, man. It's fantastic.
I played Final Fantasy 14 recently, all the way up to endgame, because people in chat wouldn't shut the fuck up about it. And, like, Final Fantasy 14 at no point was ever better than Guild Wars 2. Guild Wars 2, at every level, was better. You know, in Final Fantasy 14, you can't even, like, mass pull mobs. Like, one of the best things that you can do in an MMO, like, just objectively, just a fun thing to do, is know that you can fight 2 mobs safely, gather 5, and panic sweat as you spam your AoEs and cooldowns.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can't do that in Final Fantasy 14. You can in Guild Wars 2, hence, better game.
Ah, fair. That's fair. That's pretty fair. World versus world versus world is pretty amazing in that game too. That was pretty fun for like casual PvP. Just the big massive scale, being able to build siege engines and repair fortifications. It was fun, man. It was a lot like the old school Warhammer Online that I was obsessed with and did not last very long.
Back when I played, my computer lagged too much during the big world v world.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
We were having fun for a second. Let's get back to Israel, Palestine. Let's get back.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah.
Great pause game on Jank here, by the way.
All people of Muslim background like myself, and then it unleashes this bigotry of anti-Muslim bigotry throughout the world that I'm sick of. So screw Hamas and their barbarism, okay? Now, in terms of a proper reaction, yes, you need to get those hostages out. So now let's look at I'm going to suggest what to actually do. I'm going to be constructive. But first, let's look at the unconstructive solution that Israel had. Dropping bombs on residential buildings. 50 ambulances have been hit. 10 out of 25 hospitals don't operate anymore. The incubators are about to run out of energy. There's 45 babies that might die today. The parents I just read on CNN are writing the names of the kids on their calves, on their legs, so that if they are killed in a bombing and they're mutilated, they could find their bodies. Imagine writing the name of your child.
Would he be doing this if he wasn't running for president? Would he normally go on a show like this and
maybe
he is sincerely pro-Palestinian people. So I think this is a real take he has. Maybe he's doing more of the like discussion circuit because of the presidency thing. But I believe him when he says this stuff. It is really fucked. One of the most fucked things about the whole situation is that because Gaza is basically an open air concentration camp, a lot of the people who are born there are stateless. They never get registered by the Israeli government as being a citizen. So like, if stateless people are so like giga fucked on the global stage, because if you don't have citizenship in any country, you don't even have a starting point for any documentation you could do. Anything from like opening a bank account, like anything requires some kind of identification, and all of that starts from having
here,
like the numbers given to you by the state.
Bosh, have you ever had a big buff black guy hug? Jeff and Ben will soon am gonna hug you.
Oh God!
Until then, horses.
Yeah. So being stateless.
So a lot of people who die in Gaza, like, they never even get recorded because there's literally nothing recording their lives.
So they don't have the option to leave too, because they don't have. They can't like get a passport or something. They'd have to seek like they'd have to be like a refugee to leave if they wanted to.
Well, they also have to have a place to go that would accept them.
Israel only permits a very small number of people to leave, and it's usually for work permits. There are also Palestinians who leave through Egypt, but Egypt tightly controls that border, and most of the people who go through there are like migrant workers. So in terms of like, where could I go to get my fucking name written down as like a citizen, very hard for a lot of them.
Yeah.
It's brutal, man.
Yeah.
It's back to the fun top. Yeah.
It's
back
yeah.
to
the fun stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is strange though too, because like in order for a lot of to be able to talk with this to some with a lot of people, maybe most people, is to really try and ask them to go to a place that's very uncomfortable, to imagine a type of life that they just can't even really conceive of. You know, that you're born, you immediately get a social security number, you've got a registry, you got a home, hopefully. You know, and like there's services that you have access to. But to be born as a non-person is something I don't think most people can even conceive of. I don't think most people have the imagination to even like think of it. You know, it's a bizarre concept for them.
And I think it's very morally difficult to grapple with, because if any country was doing this to people and they weren't a Western ally, it would be really easy. Like yeah. if it was Iran or China or whatever, then you ask an American about that, it'd be like, oh, yeah, that's horrible. And they'd like wave little flags, you know.
Yeah, but I don't think they'd think of it. I don't think they would even really try.
I don't
and,
think.
Like, yeah.
I don't think they would really think with it. But I think that's the discomfort, because then yeah. it's like, oh, which country is doing this? Israel, a U.S. ally, and a country that puts a lot of work into massaging and like laundering its reputation overseas, because they need to. Otherwise, like, ooh, Israel without U.S. backing, that's not the situation they want. So then it's like, okay, they do bad things, but we're on their side. Like, how do I process that? And the immediate thought for a lot of people is to just deny, because it avoids the moral question. And then not only do they not try to engage with the experience of these stateless people, they just flat out like reject the premise and don't even, they just go to like, well, Israel has to defend itself or whatever. They don't even grapple with the thought, you know?
Well, my feelings don't care about your facts. So, you know, checkmate.
That's true. They don't. That is true. Yeah.
On their legs so that you could find them in the rubble after Israel or any government drops a bomb on them. And I need the West to understand something. Bombs kill people. And do you know how they kill people? They incinerate them alive.
Oh, there we go. Thank you, Simicotri.
Nothing but facts.
Yeah.
Nothing but facts.
They incinerate them alive.
Or yeah, pop off, King. Yeah, you spit that shit. You tell him.
Heads explode.
What is he cooking? And he's like sizzling something up, and he opens up the pan lid, and it's that fucking anime manga translation of people die when they are killed. You know. sorry.
Yeah. What happened in Israel was a disaster and disgusting, but you have to be equally honest and equally outraged at the immorality of incinerating babies and grandmothers and aunts and uncles, which is what we're doing right now. America cannot keep sending aid.
Yeah, I think he's being real.
Yeah, I could see some real emotion there. Either that or he's like an amazing actor, but I have no reason to believe that.
Death and destruction.
Now, I think the only reason he'd say something as retarded as bombs kill people is because he's being emotional too. I think it's like a sincere consequence of caring about the issue. I don't know. It's a really weird environment. Because on one hand, it's like the reaction counter reaction thing, right? Because globally, the pro-Palestinian sentiment right now is higher than it ever has been in history. Like the amount of people who are just saying like flat out, like, yeah, support the Palestinian people, way higher than it used to be. But at the same time, because of that, the blowback is also a lot higher too, where people like Piers fucking Morgan will bring you on and be like, yeah, so do you condemn Hamas? And he's like speaking to a charred Palestinian corpse or something, you know. It's like the blowback is way, way, way worse. Did you see on Twitter there was that that billionaire like business magnate who was like, hey, can you dox these Harvard students who supported Palestinian people so that I can blacklist them for my business? Holy shit. Some of those students were saying dumb shit like Hamas will save Palestinian people or whatever. But the majority of the people who were getting implicated there were just run-of-the-mill pro-Palestinian college students. And they were flat out pulling like McCarthyite shit on them.
That's wild. I mean, you know, and the thing too is, it's a strange thing for me to consider too, because there's a lot of like that borderline McCarthyism that we've seen go on for a while, and it's just strange to see it happen with this. Like, you know, Antifa, you know, whatever, that kind of shit. You kind of expect that here, at least in the States. But then, like, this? Really? This? This one? It's strange to me. It's weird.
It's like the biggest fucking ideological proxy war in human history, unironically. Because, like, it's the biggest issue globally.
But he has the demeanor of a wrestling promo.
Yeah, he does.
He does. 100% yeah. He does. That's what we love him for. It's like it's the biggest proxy issue, because like these countries, or this country, depending on your perspective or whatever, is tiny. Like it's the size of Rhode Island or something, and the whole world cares. Everyone cares, and all the Western countries back Israel because America backs Israel, and America promotes Israel as like a local regional hegemon and backer of democracy. Plus, we use them as a military base, and we use them to force pressure on Iran because we want to put pressure on Iran because we don't want them to have nukes. We know Israel can attack Iran without as many consequences from the American voters, and then you have the anti-Western world supporting the Palestinian people, but then you also have real people who actually care about Palestinian people supporting Palestinian people. And it's like, holy shit. And all of this whole concentrated fucking situation, just this tiny little span of land, you know?
Yeah.
It's fucked. Like, the world's eyes are on this one spot. I'm sorry. I keep thinking, like, how will I make this geopolitics speech funny, and then I get to the end and I've realized I forgot to do a joke.
How much of that do you think has to do simply because that's like where Jesus supposedly lived thousands of years ago?
Yeah, the fact that this happening in the Abrahamic Holy Land probably doesn't help very much.
Yeah. Three largest religions on earth all kind of stem from, I mean, Islam a lot stems from like Saudi Arabia, but they had, like, Jerusalem is a holy city for, like, all three religions.
Yeah, and a lot of it is also, like an ethnic displacement thing, because some of the most aggressively anti-Palestinian people on the internet are Indians, because Indians like Israel because they like the fact that Israel is killing and butchering Muslims, because the average Indian nationalist, the average Hindu nationalist, is more racist against Muslims than any human alive could imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Like, incomprehensible. Hey, like, you would have to go back in time like 300 years in America to find any one human as racist as a modern average Hindu nationalist is against Muslims.
It's fucking crazy. Sorry. Yeah, nah, and like that's one of the things that's like a hidden kind of aggression sort of thing that a lot of people in the West just don't really pay that much attention to, but I'm very like acutely aware of. Is anytime I see anything in the news that says India and Pakistan, I'm like, shit. Literally, and then it always fizzles
like
out.
Double Hitler shit. Like, it's literally just like the legions of Hitlers lined in a row screaming at each other. Two groups. It's like the fucking Balkans, man. Two groups of people of the same skin tone who are more racist against each other than you could possibly imagine. You line up the Palestinian or the Indians and the Pakistanis, and they look the same, wearing different clothing, and they are doing major Hitler shit to each other, you know? Like, holy fuck. It's absurdist.
It's absolutely fucking bananas. It's weird. Man, oh man. Goddamn.
Enough of the occupation. End it today. End it today. It's monstrous. Okay, I'm going to
Jake, let me ask you this. I completely understand your passion and your anger. I completely get this. I, like you, want to see some resolution at the end of this horror that we're witnessing. How do you get rid of Hamas if you don't do it the way Israel are currently doing it? How do you actually eradicate what has become a nihilistic ISIS-style terror group, who've quite deliberately, in my estimation, committed an outrage of such appalling scale that they knew that this would goad Israel into this kind of response. So why they did that, what is motivating it, who might be putting them up to it, who's helped them prepare for this, these are all questions we don't know the answers to yet. But it seems to me that Israel could, if it's not careful, be being lured into a massive trap here. And I hope that is not the case. But I'm curious.
No, he deprives... Israel of so much fucking agency. Israel is a modern Western country with the military and political backing of the United States. And he's like, I fear Israel is being lured. Lured by what? What do you mean? And then he's like, we don't know who might have orchestrated it. Fucking Hamas did, and probably Hezbollah as well. That initial reporting that was done, where it was like, here's all the evidence that Iran actually planned it. And then it all turned out to be bullshit. Like, just literally people just being like, what if we just started a war with Iran? What if we, okay, I see tensions are rising in the Holy Land, okay? What if we just fucking lied and try to redirect people's antagonism against Iran, you know? Holy shit, it's so bad.
That's never happened before, right? No one's ever lied to direct our aggression against the wrong country.
Another country?
Yeah, the wrong one.
No, never. Come on.
You know, there's a very real possibility that, like, either Israel or we, and probably Israel, but, like, we'd back them, does something with Iran, right? The Iranian nuclear program is putting down some real feet. I'm pretty sure Israel has, like, basically publicly said, like, you're not getting those nukes. I don't care how many, like, SEAL Team 6 squads we have to send in. Like, you are never getting nukes, basically.
So do they have ballistic capabilities? Can they shoot nukes a long distance?
Like the world South
I don't
Africa,
know.
Hamas funding will disappear overnight, and Israel will have to negotiate peace. Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
I don't know if Iran has ICBMs, but they definitely have the missile capacity necessary to strike Israel, which is all that really matters, because Israel is also a nuclear country. There was, because, you know, Trump pulled us out of the Iranian nuclear accords, right? So now Iran's like, well, fuck it. Like, if we can't trust you, we're just going to build our nukes. And I don't blame them. And they had a nuclear enrichment facility that was attacked by, I think they accused Israel of doing it, and Israel almost definitely did it. And they built another one that's deep beneath a mountain that can't really be bombed. Like, it's hundreds of feet below the ground. Like, it's nuke-proof, basically. It wouldn't even, it's like the presidential bunker, you know? And if they do enough enrichment down there, eventually they're going to have their own nuclear weapons. And at that point, I feel like Israel is going to contrive an excuse for an invasion. It's going to be like the WMD thing, except this time there actually are WMDs. The question is whether or not they should have them. And I don't really want Iran to have WMDs, but I don't blame them for pursuing them.
I feel the same way about that.
I forgot a joke again. I'm feeling very self-conscious about this particular, because I was talking to my mom on the phone earlier, and I did the same thing. I was like, how's your day going? Hey, want to talk about the genocide? And it's just, oh, fuck.
Fantastic.
My mom didn't. God bless her.
You get rid of Hamas if you don't do it the way Israel is currently doing it, albeit with horrific collateral damage in the face of thousands of innocent Palestinians being caught up in the bombing.
Yeah. So let me give you short-term answer, long-term answer. And a lot of people are not going to like these, but these are realistic ways that you minimize civilian casualties. You do what America did with the Osama bin Laden raid. We didn't go drop a nuke on Pakistan.
Yes,
we didn't go destroy
geopolitics.
6,000 residential buildings in the middle of Pakistan. We sent in special forces.
Oh, my fucking
God. Is it more dangerous to the special forces? Of course.
Did you guys hear me say the word geopolitics?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I think so.
I meant to mute. Holy shit. I can't be streaming right now. Oh my God. I need to explain this to you, okay?
Okay.
I brought up the image of Patchy the Pirate from SpongeBob saying, that's it. That was the meme. That was just men having gay sex. And I was going to show that to my chat, and I was going to say this, but with geopolitics. So I thought, okay, I don't need to interrupt everyone for this. I will mute myself on Skype and say it to chat. So then, for some unfathomable reason, I muted my desktop, thus cutting off Cenk. Not my mic, just said it.
Israel could
and
not
none
possibly
of it made sense.
And I'm still massive Iran. Even the USA trying to invade a large mountainous nation like Iran, let alone occupy it, would very probably fail.
Yeah, that's probably true. I don't really think we could, like, conquer Iran. That'd be a really rough one, yeah.
What's the point of special forces? Try to find the hostages. Does it look like Israel's trying to find the hostages? If I have a family member that's a hostage, I'm disgusted by what Netanyahu's doing now. How do you know they're not in the buildings you're dropping bombs on? How do you know they're not in the tunnels you're dropping bombs on? How do you know they're not in the hospitals you're dropping bombs on? So this, if you want the hostages rescued, every rational human being can agree. This is not the way to do it. This is the way to do death and destruction for the sake of death and destruction. It's collective punishment. It's genocide against Palestinians. And the world has to speak out. So my way is not pleasant either. It involves a lot of folks dying on both sides. I understand that. Those are super hard choices.
I can see him. Yeah, I can see his eyes welling up here. So, yeah, he is actually emotional about this.
But I think that Cenk is generally a fairly sincere person. I think that like the presidential run, I feel is a grift, and he does a lot of shit that I think is kind of stupid and insane. But one of the big traits about him that I've noticed that I think is real, I don't think it's fake, is this guy is like ride or die loyal. Like Anna Kasparian had a bad day and started posting some retarded shit on Twitter, and this motherfucker was out here in the trenches, like day one, just right down there. He's like, "Hello, Queen. Starting fights today, are we? I'll join you." And he just jumps down into the fucking Twitter trenches and gets right to it. And this is obviously extremely annoying behavior, but I do kind of respect it. And I think that, like, if there's one thing I can't criticize him on, it's sincerity and passion, because he seems to have those in spades.
Hamas, go find the hostages, go rescue them instead of wantingly, indiscriminately killing after killing. And let's be honest, when you drop a bomb and a kid's head explodes and a grandmother is incinerated, that is terrorist.
The thing about that donation alert is that every donation that has a two at the end, so like there's one that's $2 that does that and it does it for 5 seconds, and then there's one that's $12 and it does it for 10 seconds, there's one that's $22 and it does it for 30 seconds, and so on and so forth,
increasing the, yeah,
yes,
yeah.
So if someone gives like $102 exactly, it'll do it for like a full minute without stopping. It's pretty crazy.
Worth it. That's a good minute of income right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's killing three times as many civilians as Hamas is terrorism. And it is the same if it is done by a government. Send in as many special forces as you got. We should send in whatever you got to actually do the job at hand, instead of what Netanyahu is doing, which is to kill these people, to what? Send a message. And think about how unrealistic that is. And think about why his method has a 0% chance of working. How are the Palestinians supposed to rise up against Hamas? How would they prove they're against Hamas? Hamas ended all elections. Hamas ended democracy. So how are the Palestinians supposed to cry uncle? They're already crying uncle, but it's never enough for the bloodthirsty Netanyahu. No more death of Palestinians, more babies killed. That's what his answer is. And it's this, and the United States.
He really is our Alex Jones in terms of rhetoric. Yeah. And that's really good. You know, I frankly, I just think this should be the entire discourse. Like, I think Piers Morgan should just sit there until he dies, and Cenk should just talk forever. I think that would be the best possible world with regards to this interview, you know?
Doesn't he also think the Armenian genocide was a conspiracy theory?
Does he actually? I've never actually investigated that claim.
I don't know either. But that would make him kind of an Alex Jones, because he's like he's into conspiracy theories. I don't know.
Of America, I'm running for president here. There's no way in the world I would allow this. Sending $105 billion. And it doesn't even go to Israel, Ukraine, or Taiwan. It goes to the defense contractors that bribe these greedy American politicians and then get most of that money. And so the long-term answer is 1967 borders and the biggest walls you've ever seen in your entire life. And no one's allowed to cross to either side. But the Palestinians get their state. It is unconscionable for them not to get their state. And if you're a moral person, you believe that the Palestinians are not the only people in the world that cannot govern themselves. If you say that, you are being, by definition, bigoted and a racist. We have to have two-state solution immediately, immediately. If 56 years of occupation and brutalizing these people is not enough, is 57 years going to be enough? Is 156 years going to be enough? I'm asking Israel, not out of hate, out of love. So many of my friends that I grew up with are Jewish. This is not good for them.
I have Jewish friends. I have Jewish friends.
I do as well. I grew up in Beverly Hills. Okay, I got lots of Jewish friends. I will say,
ask Vosh about his tithe. Hey, hey.
I don't know.
Tithe. He.
I don't.
Oh, T-Y-T. He. It's just an emote that I have where Cenk looks silly. I actually don't mind the $105 billion aid package for national security that Biden has put forward, because it's like barely any of it is for Israel. I think something like $60 billion of it is for Ukraine. It's very funny to me to be like this. Ah, Israel is under attack. We need to get this funding package out right away. And then you look inside the funding package and it's, hold on, I'm looking right here. $61.4 billion in aid for Ukraine. And then there's $10 billion in humanitarian assistance. Then $7.4 billion for Taiwan. Then $13.6 billion for the U.S.-Mexico border. And then it's like, yeah, also $14.3 billion in aid for Israel. It's just very funny.
I say, like,
yeah,
you know, let's just pop off the China Taiwan thing now. You know, why not just make it three going on at the same time?
That's true. We should do that. I agree. Well, it's the ball's really in China's court. Taiwan's not going to invade China. Okay.
What's
happening is that China's going to keep building those artificial islands until the South China Sea, like Chinese control of the sea, extends around the entirety of Taiwan. Like, they're going to be surrounded. And then a Taiwanese, like, shipping freighter is going to cross into the bubble around them, and World War III will begin. I'm ready.
Yeah, these will be the three theaters of war for World War III.
Yeah, it's classic. We have the Eastern Front again, and we have the Pacific Theater again. Okay, we need another Battle of Midway. Maybe this time it'll be like the Battle of W Way or the Battle of Giat Way. We're bringing it back.
We're bringing it back. Only the classics.
This is not good for anybody. Please look into your hearts, look and be the moral
it's
people that I know
Taiwan
you can be. I've been to
soon to be mainland Taiwan, formerly China.
Oh,
true.
I don't think that's going to work.
If you listen to Chinese propaganda, that's what's going to happen. There's you like the fucking State Department people, their State Department, whatever. And it's like Taiwan has been amassing non-defensive weapons on their island. And then you look at a map and China is the size of planet Earth and Taiwan is fucking tiny island. Right.
And that's
coast.
Like, anytime an American politician visits Taiwan, China freaks out.
Yeah, yep. Nancy Pelosi visited, and China was like literally like backed off of there was like a deal that they were negotiating or something. There was something they did afterwards. They got really upsetty spaghetti over that. Over Nancy Pelosi. Come on.
Well, they can't even call themselves Taiwan at the Olympics. They have to call themselves Chinese Taipei.
Yeah. So fucked.
Yeah. Or China will get mad. That's the only reason.
Yeah, they'll boycott the Olympics. Yeah.
Yep.
Passover dinners where you pray for your oppressors. Now, it breaks my heart, but I got to tell you, you got to pray for those you are oppressing. And to say that you are not oppressing the Palestinians after brutalizing them for 56 long years, you're kidding yourself. And as a friend and an ally, I'm trying to get you to wake up and snap out of this trance. You cannot keep doing this. It is ruining your moral fiber.
Cenk, Yuga, thank you very much indeed for joining me. I greatly appreciate it. I'm sorry it was your first appearance.
China has one time zone. Russia has like four time zones over the same longitude. The sun rises 4+ hours later in eastern China than it does in western.
Yeah, it's like the one China thing, right? China's super huge. China is so big into so many people that they really have to promote the idea of there being one China, in spite of the fact that China is like, in terms of its land area and how many ethnicities there are in it, China is really more of like an empire that has the label nation slapped on top of it. You know what I mean?
I didn't realize they only had one time zone. That's insane.
Yeah, no, just they have one official time zone, and then most areas in China also unofficially use a local time zone. But officially, yeah, it's just the one, because one China, the sun rises on all of China at once.
It's UCT, United China time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wait, hold on. World time zones. It's actually crazy when you look at it from the map. You can see just how like the, it's not just how yeah, here we go. Sorry, well, I'm showing my own chat.
Yeah, like, I can pull
it
up.
You can see.
Let's see. Right there.
Just how insane it is, yeah.
What the fuck, dude? That's wild.
Yeah. When was that done? Wait, hold on. When was... I bet you this was Mao. Mao? China
probably.
Time founded.
You could blame Mao for so
I'm
much
pretty sure
shit,
he's
dude.
Still
Jesus
on their
Christ.
Money. I think I've seen...
Yep, 1949. After the Chinese Civil War, the Central People's Government abolished the five time zones and announced the use of a single time zone named Beijing time. Wait, 1949. Was Mao still... Wait, hold on. Yeah, 1949. Wait, he did this like right away?
Wow.
Wait, he proclaimed victory on October 1st, 1949. And then I guess like day one, proclaimed victory. Day two, one China time.
On day one, I will make one time zone. Could you imagine a presidential candidate saying that?
Yeah, he's like fucking he's like God. Like on the first day, Mao created like the one China time zone, so all the sun rises on all of China at once. Yeah, kind of a Chad move, to be honest.
What time is it? It's China time.
It's China time. It's China time. Yeah, which means oh fuck, this probably exacerbates like Chinese Indian tension significantly because you know like cultural differences exacerbate across borders. You have like a Chinese guy who's standing in the sunlight. It's like midday, and right across from him is the Indian border, and it's nighttime. The sun has fallen over there. It's like creating more of a kind of like cognitive break between the two neighboring nations.
I couldn't even imagine.
Speaking of like China situations, who was it that was speaking out of turn, kind of like praising the Chinese occupation of Tibet recently?
Hassan.
Was that Hassan? God damn it. God damn it. That one was really frustrating to me, though, because like it's one of those situations where somebody is kind of right, but for all the wrong reasons and don't know what they're fucking talking about. It's just absolutely bananas. That one fucking drove me crazy.
I was just gonna say, I see Chesh in our chat saying get rid of daylight savings. I don't want to get rid of it. I want to make it permanent. I want permanent daylight time.
Yeah.
Offer Vosh some
Reese, just stick to
pineapple,
it.
Banana chocolate meat. That's what's up.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
I love Reese's.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like the full on like white burden type rhetoric too, where it was like, oh yeah, you know, China may have annexed and like conquered Tibet, but they were a backwards people with uncivilized practices. So actually, China was showing themselves like unironically. That was the argument. So
yeah, that's you can't really make that fucking argument out of people that are fucking occupied. It doesn't matter. Like and that's the kind of thing that I had a little bit of an argument with a couple of people about it too. Because they just hate anything that has to do with Hassan, which I get, you know, I understand. I don't really have any strong feelings about him one way or the other. But he's like, I do have that feeling about him. He's very tall.
There we go. Now you have one feeling about him.
I have one feeling about Hassan. But yeah, no, I mean, like he wasn't wrong that like, you know, Tibet back in the day was a pretty fucking terrible place because it was totally was. But, like, you can't just be like, yeah, I'm just going to say that, and that's just fine, you know, about, you know, literally an occupied people. That doesn't make any fucking sense. And what's the point? Like, I don't know. It drove me fucking crazy.
I was wondering when the current Dalai Lama dies and they decide who the new one is, that person's going to have to be born in Tibet, right, for that to even happen. And then what do they have to do, like, smuggle them out of the country? Because isn't the current Dalai Lama, like, an exile? Right now?
Yeah, he's still in exile. I think China has really given up on giving that much of a shit about it, though.
Really, though?
I don't think that's really a thing anybody gives that much of a shit about.
You think
it's manufactured because the only reason that we as Westerners know about the Dalai Lama is because there was a concerted effort by anti-Chinese Westerners to frame the Dalai Lama as some kind of like you know, glorious, enlightened, like, victim of Chinese oppression. In reality, the Dalai Lama is just another weird, creepy religious leader with very little international support compared to the religions that we actually care about, like, you know, like, generally speaking. So, yeah, I think a lot of the knowledge of the Dalai Lama is super manufactured. I remember growing up, I remember hearing about the Dalai Lama as though he was like the Pope. And it wasn't until I was an adult that I realized, like, wait, hold on. Like, the only reason that we know about this guy is in the context of, like, anti-Chinese shit. You know? I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. I didn't even know that.
I mean, there is something to be said for, like, performative celebrity, you know, bullshit. You know? Like, I won't ascribe, like, directly anti-Chinese sentiment necessarily to it. I'm sure there's a lot to it that's there. But, you know, don't ever underestimate the ability for celebrities to find some niche little thing to make them feel very important about themselves. You know, it's just a tried and true rule of the world.
Yeah. Did we watch the entirety of the clip with Cenk? I actually think he did quite well there.
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
He did look like he was going to shit his pants half the time, but other than that, he did pretty good.
He bowled over Piers Morgan entirely. I unironically think Hassan could learn some lessons from this, because Hassan, despite being 6'4", comes across kind of conciliatory. You know, like, he'll allow himself to be interrupted and the like, whereas Cenk just fucking blasts the doors down.
Yeah, he bulldozes.
Yeah.
It's impressive, you know, when he gets going. It's kind of obnoxious as shit, but, like, if he's right, he's right, you know.
I mean, anything to keep Piers Morgan from, like, listening for 2 minutes and then going, like, oh, well, that's all well and good, but do you condemn this? <Yeah. most?"> So, anything's better than that.
Yeah, it's true.
So, I think you talked about the JF situation, because I saw a video on your channel about it, but I didn't get to watch it. How do you feel about it? Because, you know, JF's origins were on this channel back in the day.
Yeah, no, this must be to you. This must be like watching a baby bird leave the nest. You've watched him from his, like, sort of protozoan stage, and now you've seen him in his final form murdering a retarded girl.
It's so weird. It's so weird because when he first came on, he wasn't talking about white nationalism or, like, ethno states or anything like that. He was just like, hi, I'm a PhD and I have, you know, I like to debate, like, atheism versus religion and that kind of stuff. So he was never someone that we would have expected to kind of take the turn that he did. And now there's another turn that he's taken.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Murder.
Yeah. It's a pretty wild one, because, like, it is very funny, though, that basically everyone agrees that he did it. Like, I have not seen anyone go, come on, you need evidence before accusing someone of murder. And in this case, like, everyone's like, no, come on. Like,
she's buried in the fucking garden, man.
I don't know if he'll be charged until they find some kind of physical evidence that can link him to her disappearance. I'm not.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are like, okay, going to jail. I'm like, I don't know, until they find her somewhere.
For people in chat, I don't know, because not everyone in chat is familiar. Okay, basically, so there's this French-Canadian guy, and he's a Nazi, and he said, "Ich love you, idiot." And he's got a very funny accent, and he debates race realism, and he also has a kink for impregnating mentally disabled women. Like, unironically, he said this. I'm not exaggerating. Okay. And he's been shacked up with a lady for a while, and then at one point, randomly, he was like, hey, just to let everyone know, and I have nothing at all to do with this, but the girl I was living with, who previously said that I would, like, threaten her and beat her or whatever. Yeah, she's been missing for 2 months, and I made no effort to reach out to anyone at the police, and I don't know where she is, and it's all fine, and don't ask me about it.
She's 007. He kept saying, oh, she's like a 007. They will not be able to find her.
Exactly. No, it's okay, but it gets even worse than that, okay? So it's not like it's just some woman that was living with her. She's the mother of two of his children. Mm-hmm. And we don't, like, and nobody knows what the fuck is going on with the kids either at this point. Like, all of a sudden, JF's just like, I am very happy because I do not have to wake up anymore. I have sterilized my... Wait, I'm doing this wrong. Hang on. Fuck.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Do it how you know. Yeah.
Excuse me. I'm very happy now. I have sterilized my house. I have cleaned all traces of Mama J.
He literally
I
said
now
this.
I live a rock star lifestyle, getting up late and staying up late. It is fantastic. And everybody's like, bitch, where the fuck are your kids?
It is a plastic barrel filled with hydrochloric acid, you idiot. What do you say? I am responsible for our mother. I have done nothing but bury this barrel in the woods. There's nothing weird here. Just phenomenal stuff. If it turns out somehow that she turns up and she's not dead, I'll just assume that she's a clone or that he's paid the lookalike or something. I don't know. My mind is made up.
You know,
literally, I would have to be standing in front of Mama JF for me to think that she's actually still alive. There's no way.
Jeff, Mama JF appeared on the show the last time you were on.
Wait, I glitched out a little bit. Is that what happened with
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
Are
she
you
called
serious?
In. She hacked the call.
And that was the last crazy. Time you'll ever get to talk to her. Yeah.
Wow. What did she have to say?
I had trouble understanding what she was saying. Really? I think she was in another country.
She said he's got a gun.
Do you have a callback number for her?
Yeah. I'll call her really quick. Hold on. Let me get her on the line.
All right.
Hold on. Yeah, I'm still looking it up. Yeah. All right.
Let's see.
God, it takes so long to dial these international numbers. Oh.
Hello.
Mama JF.
I am happy to hear from you. How are you?
Doing great. Vosh is here. Are you a fan of Vosh?
No.
Is this like one of those you solve a murder mystery by asking the ghost of the... This is what Mob and Reagan do in Mob Psycho. Did he do it?
Who do what?
Did JF clean house? Did he kill you?
Oh, yeah. He killed me. JF killed me. He did very, very sad. It hurt very bad. But it's okay.
All right, stop.
It's okay because I get better. And then I made some friends that teach
all
me
right,
how
case,
to go paragliding.
Case closed. Get this poor woman off the screen. From beyond the grave, Mama JF comes in. Save.
I like paragliding. Do you?
Oh, my God.
Stop. Save
okay,
it.
I
stop.
Got to go. Bye.
Bye.
It's weird.
You know, also, he had a girlfriend that was taken away from him by the state.
Yeah, I remember. And that was the one where the girlfriend's dad said, please do not fuck my daughter. She has the brain of a 9-year-old. And the judge asked the girl on the stand to count to 10 without using her hands to count. And she struggled to do so. And that was the girl that JF was trying to knock up. Yeah, I remember. I remember that fucking storyline.
Yeah, it's brutal. Absolutely brutal. Do we have any updates? Or he seems to be suspiciously quiet about this because for a while
not at first.
He was like, not at first. He was like bragging that like that the cops like were well. For one, if he did it, he pulled like a fucking OJ, and he was like, if I did it, you know, the cops they'd never catch me, which was very suspicious. And then like further on after that. He started talking about how he was like a master in forensics and shit. And now that the cops, even though the cops were talking to him literally every day, it was because they knew he didn't do it.
This feeds into my theory about serial killers, which is that the idea that serial killers are geniuses, like we have like Dexter or like Hannibal Lecter or whatever, not only is it bullshit, it's the opposite of the truth. I think that whatever combination of being like an antisocial freak or whatever like personality triad or whatever leads people to be serial killers actually makes them really fucking obvious. Like they're just weirdo freaks who everyone is like, wow, that guy's a freak. And like, because every time you hear about like mass murders or whatever, you know, like serial killer types, not just like randomly they did something, but like they were like committed to it. You hear... Yeah. From in like the true crime stories, they ask like the neighbors and the cops, and they're like, him? Oh, he did serial killing? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He's always a quiet guy, but like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. kind of saw that coming.
Yeah, it's like an ego thing. I don't think that they're like, you know, I'm gonna mastermind this plan to like secretly. I think instead it's like they're I am chin fucking my way across the East Coast. I put baby in retard girl. I by the way did not murder this missing girl. Been gone 2 months. Do not look at these gloves, these blood gloves. I am wiping them off. This is other blood, not her blood. And then it's like fuck.
it does play into that. I do think that there's probably Russian something to really be said.
It did kind of turn Russian at the end.
My wife,
she's suffocating the sack. I don't know. I think you're probably onto something with that though. Like there's probably more of like a dissonance with the people around that are like no, you know, like they, I don't want to think that there's a serial killer. That makes me uncomfortable. But when they look back on it with hindsight, they're like, yeah, that makes sense. That totally makes sense. That tracks, you know. I always wondered why I kept seeing cat corpses fucking everywhere, you know.
Yeah, it's never just, yeah, I don't know. This is one of the things, I was saying this with Chad a while ago, because my community is full of autistic people. So it's like a lot of them are like, a lot of autistic people and a lot of internet weirdos dislike the concept of manners. So not being nice is one thing, but manners, like don't put your elbows up on the table, or like there are social norms when it comes to engaging with people. A lot of people have this like very individualistic attitude of like, well, as long as I'm being good to people, why don't I show it my own way? But what a lot of people don't realize is that the purpose of manners is to regulate behavior and make dissonant behavior more obvious. If a person is socially adjusted, they can follow these little rules. The rules are arbitrary. The question is, can you follow them? Because if you can't, it's like, you know, like a good example of this, for example, is animal torture. We can legally torture animals if you do it in a slaughterhouse. We do it all the time, as a matter of fact. So you might say ethically, okay, so if you can eat like a chicken wing and that chicken lived a horrible life before it died, then what ethically is different between that and like watching an 8-year-old pluck all the feathers off a chicken before beating it by grabbing it by the neck and throwing it against the wall? And the answer is that makes him a fucking psycho. The moral question isn't in terms of harm inflicted. It's about like the proximity to the harm. It's about manners. So if you fuck that up, you know, or I don't know, brag about chain fucking autistic women across the East Coast or whatever, you know, theoretically, it's like an indicator. If you can't follow basic social rules here, how many children have you murdered?
True. Very true. Well, and it's not only just like as far as, you know, base societal norms, even the norms of his own chosen group, he tends to violate as well. You know, bringing this back to JF to even further elucidate on how bizarro this shit is and how kind of serial killer it is. It's completely and utterly self-focused in every single instance. A good example is he is the world's worst ethno-stater and white nationalist. He's the worst. He's absolutely terrible. Two of the women that he, one of which he impregnated and one that he was trying to impregnate, were not white. In fact, the girl that he was fucking around with that caused him to lose his position at Duke University was also not white. And even when he's trying to advocate for an ethnostate, there's this brilliant debate that was held on this channel at one point. This dude kept pressing him on like how he's going to craft the ethnostate. And every single rule, he just was like, I don't give a shit about that rule so long as I'm getting laid. It's
holding
amazing.
Up big, like, Olympic scorecards, like, judging them for their adherence to their race principles, you know? Like, they walk out with, like, a swarthy Italian woman. You have, like, a 7.5 up. They walk out with a black chick, and you're like, whoa, hold on. What do you even believe? That's, like, every white nationalist, though, right? Like, all of them jerk off to interracial cuckold porn, but, like, if they, every fucking internet neo-Nazi, if they are, like, one, like, wink from a cute black girl at the supermarket away from fantasizing about railing a black chick for, like, the rest of their lives. There's no, like, real principle commitment. That's why the biggest cope is, like, with trans people, right? Like, trans chicks, you know? I believe there are a lot of people who authentically fucking hate trans women. But one thing that I don't believe is when there are people who go on these internet crusades about how all trans women are ugly, because I know that they know that they're lying, right?
Right.
This is the telling it to themselves, or they'll see someone who like like where like a trans woman like passes completely by every marker, and it's like, ah, well, actually I can tell. It's like, the only thing you're telling me, the only information you're sharing with me, is that you jerk off to trans women, and like you're making your complex my problem now. Like, you have no commitment to this, you know?
Right. Absolutely. I think there's a kind of like a trial by fire that you can enact really quickly of people who believe that they would never be attracted to trans people. It's very simple. It's Bailey J brushing her teeth. If you know, you know. If you know what I'm talking about, then you know what I'm talking about.
I see.
And if
Crusades,
you find that video, if you find that video of Bailey J brushing her teeth, and you send it to somebody who says they would never bang a trans person, I probably at least a good 50 to 75% of them will change their mind.
I googled Bailey J brushing teeth, and the first link up from Google is from the absolute fucking spider's den, motherless.com. So, wait, there's a Reddit link too.
Oh my god! But yeah, I've seen a crusade online against muscle women. Like, people be like, oh, this woman, she's got like big muscles for a woman, she's manly, gross, ew. I see that all the time.
Yeah that's bullshit too.
I really think it's like so much of we're gonna get political here. So much of male heterosexual attraction is about proving to other men what you're actually into. One of the best examples of this is that by basically every objective marker that we can find, fat chicks get laid constantly. Not only do they get laid if they want to, like, not only can they get laid easily, but guys will specifically go after fat chicks, or like if any range of fat, from like chubby to obese or whatever, like all the time. But if you ask guys publicly, like, are they into fat chicks? Like, the numbers don't add up. And the only answer to this is that what men are into, at least in terms of what they're willing to admit, is largely a product or a project of convincing other men that they're masculine, which is very weird. And I don't necessarily see this in the other direction, because I'll see a lot of like women talk about how they like grungy guys. There are women who are like, yeah, no, 6 feet, 6 figures, 6 inches. But those women are bitches. And like, everyone dunks on them. Like, we all know they're bitches, right? But a lot of women will be like, you know, haha, I like guys who are like this. And they'll post a picture of some guy in an absolute fetid shithole of a room, you know, like McDonald's wrappers everywhere. And they're like, yeah, dick from these guys, that's solid shit. And people make fun of women for that. But that's women being honest, because men are the same fucking way. You take a guy, right? And you're like, hey, there is some tight pussy in this room. You open the door and there's like a grungy chick in a messy room. You think the guy is going to be like, the average guy is going to be like, whoa, hold on, I have standards? No, they might say that publicly, but they would absolutely still go for that, right? So I think if anything, women are more honest. Women will actually say what they're into, and the guys are the ones who are doing this weirdo like machismo project with their mates, you know?
Yeah, I can kind of see it. I think
my whole point to that is like muscle isn't necessarily a masculine trait.
No, I don't think it is necessarily either. It doesn't have to be.
Right.
It doesn't have to
be. Muscle's different on a chick. Literally, it's like different like body structure. But yeah. I had the biggest crush on this girl when I was in high school. She was like also Polish or something. I don't know, Polak jeans, big people. But she would wear a very loose backless shirt to gym class, and she would do lat pull downs, and she had visible muscles, which is, she would have been like a 16-year-old chick. So I think visible back muscles is like insanely impressive at that age for a woman. That's incredibly impressive. But I remember having a crush on her because she would like do the lat pull down, and like the back muscle would ripple.
I follow a lot of muscle mommies on TikTok. I can't help it. I can't help it. They make me thirsty. Bench press me, mommy. I think a lot of it too is just our societal expectations are so fucked. And there's this constant, of course, the culture war, et cetera, et cetera. And if you can weaponize women expressing themselves as an act against masculinity, of course, you know, it's tried and true methods. So.
Race realists will pretend they only want a beautiful blonde hair, blue eyed Aryan wife, and then they'll like jerk off to black chicks or like hot fucking big booty Latinas. Transphobes will pretend that trans women are all like ugly with fucking like visible peach fuzz or whatever, and then they'll jerk off to trans porn, as does half the internet right now. Seriously, go on any website, drawn, real life, whatever. There are women with dicks everywhere. Like, we're not fooling anyone with the fixation of the moment. And then you ask like guys, and it's like, oh no, I'd never fuck a fat chick. And then like you look at the fucking fat chick abacus the chart. Like, well, the numbers aren't fucking adding up, are they? He's pointing at like these skyrocketing numbers of black chicks, trans chicks, and fat chicks, and all the fucking to the moon, like crypto wasn't, you know? so if I make it make sense. Sorry, I don't know what the fuck I'm up to.
Isn't like stepmom ranked really high too?
It's dude, everything you go, it's, you look at the hentai doujins, incest. You look at
this
the,
is funny because
Western.
I have with similar opinions, and my dream is to get spit roasted by a muscle mommy, Bailey J, and this big girl I know, creamy pies for all.
Wow,
move to Seattle. There's plenty of trans chicks.
I can only count to four. Can I be JF next 007? Go undercover to find Mama JF.
004 is a MI6 title.
004.
Yeah, the incest shit is everywhere. Holy shit. Seriously, if you go by, if you, you know what? As a matter of fact, hold on. I'm going to do it right now. 1 second.
Pornhub. He's going to do an incest, everybody.
.com. 1 second. Mute site.
Yes.
Just going to do that one right off the bat. Okay, hold on. How does one top chart? How does one top? I don't actually use Pornhub. There has to be a button here.
Yeah,
wait,
I'm not
hold
sure.
on. There we go. Wait.
How does one top?
Here we go.
How can she top?
Four videos recently featured. Featured recently, most viewed from the past week. Sexy ass stripper squirting on my dick and sucking my balls empty. Okay. Hold on.
I'm liking this. Send me a link.
Colombian teen Melanie auditions in porn 18 years old. That affirms my idea that a lot of fucking dudes are pedophiles. We True. Fucked a random guy we met at a house party. There we go. Stepdad jerks off with stepsister's ass. Jane Wilde anal. There we go. Oh, and then the next one. MILF Armani Black teases stepson. Are you looking at my pussy? Season 7, episode 10.
It's episodic.
It's like a Marvel Cinematic Universe over here. You've got you've got all these different shows. Then together, you fucking Endgame, where all the dads and stepdaughters come together. I don't know.
Incredible.
Or something bad happens to my.
Yeah,
fucking...
it is pretty fucking weird though. There was a semi interview that I was watching, reading about with a porn star, and somebody was asking very specifically, like, why is there so much like incest porn and that sort of thing? And her response is actually rather brilliant. She's like, I don't care. Those pay the most. Who gives a shit? And I was like, yeah, that's pretty fair.
I think it's,
but it's not a good psychological explanation, you know.
I think it's because guys are lonely. I think that's why. It's because people are lonely and having trouble making friends. So they fetishize the idea of developing a romantic and sexual relationship in a context where even the most lonely, isolated person can still consistently interact with another person, your family. And that's the only one. Every other context involves some kind of extrinsic interaction. That's my guess.
That's very grim.
I think so, yeah.
it's fucking grim, man. It's fucking grim. Oof.
Everyone watching right now, if you haven't already given the stream a like, please give the stream a like. And thanks to everyone who's helped get us to 32% of our goal on the first show of the week.
Me debate, bro. I'm stuck in the washing machine.
I don't even know if I want to play it because I don't know who this guy is, but someone sent me a video of some guy challenging you to an MMA fight. Vosh.
Is it the Count Dankula one?
No. I can't.
There's another one?
I can't remember the guy's name. He wears a mask. He claimed to debate you. He calls you a PDF file. He's got like a southern accent.
Wait, don't tell me who it is, because now I'm actually really curious. Wait, chat, I summon all of you. Wears a mask, southern accent, who? Wait, what kind of, do you mean a face mask or like a medical mask?
It's almost like a weird, almost like a Grim Reaper looking kind of mask. I mean, I can pull them up on the screen if you want to see them.
Like a fash wave sort of thing? Or
Yeah, boy, pull up their face.
So, wait, right there. Oh, okay. Like this. This guy challenges you. Oh shit! My bad. Here it is.
I have no fucking
fuck
idea.
Is that?
Wait, I think I recognize this from Twitter. Is this Obvious? Something Mr. Obvious?
He has like a normal sounding name, like a first name and a last name and everything. I can't remember what he said. I watched this a little earlier and I'm like, this is so weird. I was like, I don't even know if I want to play it, but he just talks a bunch of trash and then he's like, I'll take you out in an MMA fight. I'd ruin you, boy.
Yeah, no. I get it. I'm very curious who this is, though, because I feel like I've seen that mask somewhere. Maybe I'm totally off. I Googled, for some reason, the name Mr. Obvious popped up, but then I looked at Mr. Obvious on Twitter, and they're just a CSGO player, so it's not them.
That could have gotten awkward.
Like just accidentally challenging like a fucking FaZe gamer clan elite pro gamer. Is it Dream? Yeah, is this Evil Dream?
I can't remember the name. I don't think it's anyone whose name you'd probably normally recognize. But he was like, oh, "I'll fight you in the octagon." He's got a weird,
amazing.
Yeah,
or later, this is going to have to reach a breaking point. And the question is, will biological women finally put their foot down against this madness?
So it's like that kind of shit. Yeah, he's like a transphobic guy, I guess. He claims to have debated you, but I don't know. And then he's like, I challenged him then, and he pussied out. And
I'm looking. Okay, somebody found me somebody called Mr. Obvious, but I don't know if it's them. They have a different mask in the thing.
Yeah,
I have no idea. Sorry. Yeah. I'm totally lost. My answer is no.
Yeah,
get owned to the fighting. Count Dankula did do a call at once. The problem is, first of all, I would never do any fighting anyway because it feels like the natural regression from blood sports, right? I like talking. You know, I boxed when I was younger. This like attempt to drag me into the ring for my attention, you know, like that's a whole other thing. Also, yeah. I have a chest injury, but it's very sad because I did used to box. And it makes me think like, man, I feel like I could actually do pretty good at this particular style of content generation if I had the personality for it and wasn't injured, you know? I feel like because Count Dankula is pretty short, right? I wonder, maybe this guy, the guy with the mask, is like really beefy under the hood.
Yeah, who knows about that guy? We don't know anything really about him other than his voice. Count Dankula, I've never seen him in person, so I don't know how big he actually is.
He doesn't look like physically fit, but he's kind of chubby, right?
Actually like challenge you to a fight?
I think it was just a meme in a video. It was like, I was doing like an Irish bit or something. Yeah. Though it was a pretty high effort bit, as bits go. What about, what about Cenk? Cenk is built like a fucking tank. There's no way,
Cenk
right?
The tank.
He's huge! Yeah. Well, he's shorter than me, but he's like a fucking brick!
Yep.
Yeah? No shot.
Okay, so I'm looking at a picture of Count Dankula next to Sargon of Akkad. Sargon is pretty short. Count Dankula looks like he's an inch taller. How tall is Nigel Farage? Nigel Farage height. This will tell us because he's basically the same height as Nigel Farage. 5'8".
Okay. Yeah, Count Dankula is 5'7". Okay. Five foot nine.
He's probably 5'8". Probably 5'8". About the same as Nigel.
Got that reach advantage. Yeah. Either of you ever done like a combative sport?
Yes.
Yeah. Sort of. I started when I was a kid and then I kind of fell off in my mid 20s. But it was karate. It wasn't anything like jiu-jitsu or anything cool or like MMA style fighting.
I did a bunch of training, and I ended up being a bouncer for like 2.5 years or so. And got into a lot of fights doing that. But, it's not really something that like
stream on my birthday 10/22. I'm mad giving money to the DP boys instead. Love you.
Nice.
Whoa.
Deserved. Yeah, it's
thank you so much. Like, yes. If you're mad at Vosh and you're watching him right now, you can come and make him more mad. You can get him back. You can just come here.
I don't have
and
the
subscribe
joints for combat. Oh yeah. And subscribe. Everyone going over there. Thank you. Leave me, go to them. Yeah, I don't have the joints for combat sports anymore, but now I'm doing the I'm turning 30 soon version of getting into combat sports, which is just buying a lot of guns. That's like the obvious like natural follow through.
What's your chest injury?
Oh, I've had costochondritis for like nearly 2 years now. Fucking sucks. It's like a minor thing, but it's enough of a thing that it like inhibits exercise. It's super fucking annoying.
I'm not even familiar with that condition.
It's inflammation of the sternum, like the bit right here.
Yeah.
So it's minor. Like if you Google it, it's like not one of those things that can kill you. But the problem is you're always using your sternum when you breathe.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it's basically like having tendonitis, except you can never not be on the ankle. It'd be like always walking while having tendonitis. So it's just stayed. I use a fuck ton of anti-inflammatories just to keep it in check, like topical cream and like pills and stuff, which is supposed to wreck your liver. But I did get my blood work done recently, and so far it's a healthy liver. So
yeah, so I guess getting hit in the sternum would
kill me instantly. Instantly.
At least take the wind out of you.
Oh, I do quite a bit worse than that.
Yeah.
Go up against me in boxing, and I've got my core defensive stance. Right here, you know,
landing
50 consecutive punches to my face, but I'm keeping my sternum safe, and that's what matters.
That's fair.
My glowing weak spot, like in Resident Evil. That would be like my punch out character, you know, like you have to punch me in the face 50 times, dealing no damage, but then I like reel and my hands go back and my sternum is glowing right here. Ooh. And
It is kind of like King Hippo, like that's
I'm wearing like a off of a necklace, like a giant iron plate that covers my sternum, and when I go like this, it flips up and you have a second to hit it properly. I like flash.
Man, I was trying to play the original Punch Out in the arcade last week, and I just was not good at it at all.
You weren't very good. No.
No.
I was gonna try and be nice about it and be like, no, you did good, but no, I can't lie. I can't.
We went to the Portland Retro Gaming Expo last week, and we saw a guy having an argument with, like, we were waiting at this light rail station.
Oh, no.
We saw this guy having an argument with nobody, and then he asked us for advice arguing with the invisible person. Oh my god. You had to do that now. And then we saw a man and a woman get into a fight on the Max Line train there.
Okay. Hang on.
Okay.
So we walk up, this dude's in the middle of the street having a conversation with somebody else, an argument, hits me up for a couple of cigarettes, asks us like, yo man, like I don't know, I need some advice. How do you, and he's talking about a woman that he's trying to like figure out and like gesturing to nothingness. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know, man, you know, chicks, whatever. And there's this lady over on the side and she can't stop going, fuck you, bitch.
You know what? And then later on during the same trip, I caught that whatever she had, I actually started yelling, I'm fucking bitch.
Oh, you did actually. But that was because you were drunk and looping because you got into an argument with somebody at a bar. But yeah, she gets on the Max, on the light rail train, and it's obviously like it's an issue with her. She can't stop fucking screaming obscenities. And this other homeless person comes up and attempts to get her to shut up by telling her to shut up. And as we all know, the best thing to do when dealing with somebody who is mentally ill is to be very aggressive with them. They will immediately stop their behavior.
Oh, that's the first rule. You grew up in L.A., you learn this. First rule in dealing with homeless, belligerent people, yelling at them.
Yeah.
Calm them down.
And this ended up in a World Star-style fist fight on the light rail, which most people were trying to not get involved with until he started choking her.
Yeah, he started choking her.
People had to step in and like drag him off.
Yeah, and then like they broke him up, and she's just like, "Fuck you!" It was so great. Yeah, screaming like so loud the entire time.
It was wild.
She didn't miss a beat.
Portland, oh Portland!
But hey, public transit—that's cool.
Yeah,
yeah. The public transit in Portland is amazing.
We both took trains to Portland too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I took. Did you see that since California is fucking up so much with its high speed rail, there have been proposals to just do the Oregon Washington part of the high speed rail, but like without California.
Yeah, huh. I'm totally on board.
Yes,
totally fucking on board.
Is that it supposed to be like one of those European style high speed trains?
Well, it's like Toronto, Seattle, you know, Eugene, Portland, right? Like you could do a pretty good connection there. Yeah. It's really difficult to do high speed rail in America though, for a couple of reasons that all that all somehow involve one like Philadelphian train company. But God willing, we can get something done.
Yeah.
Vancouver, not Toronto. Fucking that's.
Yeah, I was like, wow, that's a massive undertaking.
Big train line. Yeah. Yeah, you're heading north from Portland, and it's like, oh, 1 hour, you know, get to Seattle. And it's like, okay, next stop, 12 hours.
Yes.
No, more than that. Yeah, fucking 23 hours. No getting off.
Dude, that would be so dope to be able to get up to Vancouver, BC so quickly.
Yeah.
God. I'd be up there every weekend.
One of the quickest ways around here is by float plane. They do float plane from Lake Union up to Vancouver, like in their harbor there. And it's one of the quickest ways. Yep.
Fuck is a float plane?
Those planes that land and take off in water.
Oh, seaplanes.
Yeah.
How expensive is it? That sounds awesome.
I'm not sure. They also do them up to Victoria. Hold on.
You can't just drop that on me. You gotta give me some details, man. I've never been in a seaplane. Excuse me, float plane.
Or whatever they're called.
I think they're cool. They're very cute. They're very cute.
Harbor yeah. Air.
I want to learn how to fly really, really bad.
Where is it? There it is. I'm sure it varies by date. Just like I kind of remember it being around $200 or something. I don't know. Maybe it's even cheaper. I don't know.
You know, I saw that they were offering, I don't know if it was this line specifically, but you could get in a seaplane and you could fly all the way over to Mount Rainier from Lake Washington and do like a fly around it and then come back. That looked really fun.
That's cool. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I need to go over to Mount Rainier. I keep thinking like this summer I'll do it. But the problem is I'm very lazy and don't like going outside. This is consistently a problem when with regards to making plans to drive 30 miles and then hike a bunch.
See, I still think you guys should both come down to Oregon and we'll all go shooting. It'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm getting two new guns in a bit.
Looks like it's in the 300s at least next month. It probably changed. With this one, on this day, it's there's an international special for $199. And this is from Lake Union to Vancouver Harbor. It's a really short flight, too.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
God damn.
Those little planes are weird to me. I've never been on like a really little plane like that. I've only been on big commercial airliner planes.
Oh, dude, the last time I was in a tiny, tiny plane, I jumped out of it. It was fucking awesome.
Yeah, and that makes sense. They wouldn't have you jump from like a big plane, not normally.
Yeah. Nah. If you go skydiving, like beginner skydiving stuff, you only go up to 10,000 feet. And so you don't need a really big plane. You need something that like just really economy, you know, fuel efficient sort of thing. So you can keep going up and up and up over and over again every day. Yeah, that was fucking amazing. Very highly recommend skydiving. It's incredible.
I don't relate to this conversation in the slightest. I'm sorry. Fuck that.
I wouldn't do it.
Wait until you hit 40, Vosh, and you might change your tune.
See, that's why I don't want to do it. I'm too old for that shit. Maybe I would have done it a long time ago. I just don't want to do it.
My dad was 78 when he did it.
That's fine. That's fine.
What else come on. You already peaked.
There's not a fucking age thing. It's spooky. I don't like heights. I don't want to skydive. I might do it at some point purely for like the experience, I guess. It is pretty cool that for all of human history, falling from a great height was the last thing you could ever do. And now, if you want to, and you have a few $100, you can do it purely for the thrill from a greater height than any other human could conceive before, like 100 years ago. And that is cool. I do like that. I do like flexing on my ancestors a little bit, you know? Like, they may have had 8 kids in a walkable community in their village, but I can survive falling from, like, low orbit.
You're also strapped to someone else, like, dick to butt, strapped to somebody else, so...
Which they'd also be jealous of, because they would have been, you know, like, executed for going dick to butt with someone else.
Yeah.
True. Nah, man, it was great. It was incredible. I still won't go bungee jumping, though. That just seems irresponsible to me.
Is that even still a thing? I remember in the 90s. No,
bungee jumping is dangerous. Dangerous, dangerous.
Yeah, like, super dangerous.
Yeah, leave that to the Russians.
Yeah. Nah, like, by proxy, like, skydiving, by proxy, skydiving is way, way, way safer. Like, incredibly safe.
I think I really wanted to try bungee jumping after... fuck, what was it? GoldenEye, the movie, the Bond movie. I think he uses a bungee cord, which doesn't make sense. I don't know why he would bungee off the dam when he's trying to, like, not die. I don't get it. I don't remember. It's been a while.
That is what he does. Yeah, he bungee jumps.
It looked really cool. Wait, hold on.
GoldenEye. He bungee jumps, and then at the end of it, he shoots a grapple gun with a winch on it.
That's
to,
it,
like,
connect
drag
to further.
And...
Yeah.
Yeah, that movie's awesome.
Didn't the game come out, like, 5 or 6 years later?
No, it was
the same time.
Wasn't it at the same time? I could have... Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
People in chat who are too young to have seen it and think they're above watching a Bond movie because they're left-leaning or whatever, you got to watch GoldenEye, okay? The only worthwhile Bond movies to watch nowadays, in my humble opinion, are GoldenEye and the Daniel Craig films. And not necessarily because the Craig films are good, but more because they're, I don't know, culturally relevant. But the GoldenEye fucking rocks.
So I've seen every Bond movie. And I will say there's, like, a time and a place for watching all of them. If you want to laugh at scummy Bond, the Roger Moore movies are hilarious. And I mean, you gotta get over, like, you know, casual sexism and shit like that.
more than casual sexism. Sean Connery fucking rapes a lesbian in.
Oh,
in,
I know.
Yeah. In Goldfinger.
Goldfinger. Yeah. Yeah. No, the Roger Moore ones are more just sleazy Bond. And it's more casual sexism. But then again, they also go up into space and they have lasers and, like, killer hot air balloons. I mean, they're slapstick. So you can enjoy them as, like, cultural relics, I suppose. The Sean Connery ones are very hard to watch.
They don't
days.
Know when to leave it alone.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. It was corrective rape. There was, like, a woman and Sean Connery's like, oh, you must be a good lawyer. And the woman's like, actually, I like girls. And I like girls because I'm damaged, because being lesbian is like mental illness. And Sean Connery's like, And then later he's like, I'll show you. You'll love a man. You just need the right one. And, like, literally, like, that is, yeah. It's fucking,
yeah, it's
like
fucked up, dude.
50 years ago.
I don't think I've ever seen it. I don't think I've seen Goldfinger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
I've seen the Roger Moore and the Pierce Brosnan ones, but that's about it.
It's the dick laser. That's when he gets strapped to the table. That's when the villain's plan was to explode a nuke in Fort Knox, thus irradiating most of the world's gold supply, so that the gold he already owned would be
more valuable. Yep.
What a crazy plan.
That's good. That's a good plan. I like that plan.
That's fucking nutty, dude. Oh my god. It's weird.
I can't.
Yeah.
Even...
No. Sean Connery is kind of a piece of shit.
Isn't he dead now? He's dead now, right?
Yeah, I think he's dead now.
Yeah. Wait.
Yeah. Pretty sure. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he died like 2 years ago or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2020.
Yeah, did you ever see the thing where they were like, who was it interviewing him, like Barbara Walters or something? And they're like, have you hit a woman before? He's like, yeah, sometimes they just don't know when to leave it alone.
Yeah.
Real piece of shit.
It's, though, to be fair, that's probably like most 90-year-old men. He's just honest enough to say, like, I feel like that's the median guy who's still around from that time, and he just said it because he's Sean Connery, you know,
like maybe Clint Eastwood's kind of like that too.
Yeah, like if I feel, I just feel like if you ask, because a lot of them know to shut up, but he doesn't. Maybe that was like the progressive position, actually. Like if you ask your average 90-year-old and they would just say it, they'd be like, oh, actually, I think that murder a few women now and again, you know, just everyone does this. And Sean Connery is actually progressive for just like beating one.
Yeah, that's far too. That's crazy.
Marital rape was legal up until the 70s.
Yep. 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 Absolutely. Like,
everywhere, pretty much.
Yeah, in America, yeah. Yeah. It was like a state-by-state battle. But yeah, in like 72, I think, in every state of the union, you could do, like just rape your wife, and there was no case there.
What was the name of the actual... Okay, so it had to be changed state-by-state, basically.
Hold on. Prior to the 1970s, marital rape was legal in every U.S. state. It was partially outlawed in Michigan and Delaware in 1974, then wholly outlawed in South Dakota and Nebraska in 1975.
Yeah, you could only kind of rape your wife.
But it was only till 1993 that every state had it a crime nationwide.
That's insane.
Never heard of, heard of such a thing.
Oh, yeah. No, it's
pretty wacky.
1993. Mm-hmm. I wonder which state was the last one.
Alabama.
Wasn't that the last state to officially outlaw slavery?
It's either Alabama or Mississippi every time.
Oh, even after 1993, though, marital rape was often tried less severely than non-marital rape. So it was still a mitigative force. In only 17 states were they treated the same. So in the other 33, you could be like, the cop would be like, hey, you raped that woman. You're like, well, yeah, but she's my wife. And the cop would be like, oh, okay, lesser charge. Or I guess the DA, not the cop. But yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you used to be able to like sell your wife. That was pretty common.
True. Well, that's what Sean Connery was progressive for not doing.
Oh, you know? Right. Fair.
Man out of time.
I can't help it, dude. I like this conversation is, I watched this video, Why Is Clint Eastwood, by Maggie Mayfish, and this is like fucking reminding me of it so much right now too, because you've got like the old boomer like Clint Eastwood, and I just have to say this because it blew my fucking mind. Apparently in it's 1969, he was in a movie called Paint Your Wagon, and he almost became a bisexual icon.
What?
Yeah, because in the movie, like, it's this mining town. He partners up with Lee Marvin, and they have like super, super homoerotic tones between each other. And then this Mormon guy comes into town and has two wives, and Lee Marvin buys the wife. And then Lee Marvin, Clint Eastwood, and this woman all basically get married together as a throuple, as this bisexual, like, poly fucking thing. It's wild.
Interesting.
Ahead of their time.
I just had to say that because it's been in my head all fucking day now. And oh, it's I need better. To watch that movie.
It's better than what is otherwise the core theme of this particular episode of the podcast, which is genocide in Gaza and marital rape. the two genders.
I'm just cheering it up, you know. Just imagining Lee Marvin and Clint Eastwood having a Brokeback Mountain, you know, while what was her name? Gene Seberg.
Yeah, it was kind of like
back and watches.
It was like the proto Brokeback Mountain, basically.
Yeah, I guess so. I suppose so. I mean, they're not. It's 1969, so they don't explicitly be like, "I wish I could quit you." I'm sure you're asking yourself, "Did I come once or did I come twice?"
I would have laughed at that if I wasn't tired. I'm letting you know that it's not you, it's me.
No, it's all right. It's all totally right. And we're probably going to wrap up in a couple minutes.
You see me getting soft, and I'm like, I have had a really tough day. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm just distracted.
Sorry.
Did anyone else? Okay, wait. Total topic shift really quick.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah.
When I was growing up, I was given the impression, mostly from listening to the unsolicited advice of other men, that women were heartless monsters.
Yeah.
For like you getting soft, like if you got soft for any reason in any sexual context, women would like be brutal to you about it. And in my experience, like, every woman is actually overcompensating in the other direction, where you can be like even like you can be tired or whatever and be like not be fully hardworking. They could be like, oh no, I know, I understand, dicks are like that, huh? Like every time. So I feel like the educational project has actually like massively overcorrected in the other direction. You understand what I mean?
I do understand what you mean. So in my experience, and I think there's a real strong psychological case to be made here. I agree that it's overwhelmingly like, especially just, well, I think anybody who's having a sexual partner, more than likely, if you're having some difficulty, like, ooh, I bet I can help out with that. That's cool. I understanding whatever, that sort of thing. Some people take it as a challenge, which I think is a very healthy way to do it as well. But there are instances. There are instances where people are not nice about it. Now, here's the problem. This is the same psychological trick or trap that we always fall into, is you can be inundated all day with 9 awesome things, but if you have just 1 bad thing, you're going to think about that more. So I think it's more of like a male insecurity psychological trap than anything else. But we should change the dialogue on that. I think that's probably why people focus on it more.
The only time I remember actually having an issue getting hard with somebody was just because they were incredibly annoying and I didn't like them. So I feel like maybe in my case, they actually should take it personally. Like if I am ever soft, they should think like, fuck, he hates me. You know, because so far that's 1-for-1, right?
It's cocaine. It's only, that's yeah, look, cocaine.
Does cocaine get you hard?
No, it
does the opposite.
I have a friend that when he does blow, he gets hard as a fucking rock, but not me, man. Nope, opposite. No way.
Somebody in chat says gets you horny and soft. Is that?
Yeah, that's pretty that's pretty accurate. Yeah.
Okay, you know what? I could go for that. Because having your dick soft when you're soft feels different from having your dick soft when you're sucked when you're hard. And I feel like, I don't know, that's like a variety thing. It's like, you know what? I just sit here and get head anyway. Like, you know what? Today I'm going to get head while soft and it'll feel good. You know, why not? You know, just we're going to try it out.
I'll co-sign on that one. Yeah, that's an interesting concept. Although, you know, like a real pro gamer move is just to crush up a fucking Viagra and mix it in with your line. You know, like just. That's what you do.
That's true. Someone in chat, I'm not going to say their name, even though everyone can see it. I wouldn't want to suck a soft dick. If you don't want to suck a soft dick, then you don't like sucking dick. Okay, well, I'm not a hypocrite here. I've sucked dick. Like, what do you mean? It's a dick. It's soft. Like, what do you mean? It's a dick. What are you doing? it's soft it's most dick. Of the time.
Listen here, Vosh. It better be hard when I get there, or else my time is valuable.
Yeah, getting like sprinting at the person you want to fuck and pantsing them, and if they haven't gotten hard in between seeing you start the 50 meter and it finishing it, then it's like you take it personally. It's an insult. It feels awful, man. Come on. It feels awful to suck a soft dick. Okay, first of all, I'm going to say it. Everyone's thinking it. I'm going to say it. This is transphobic. You've been with a trans woman? Okay.
Also keeps if you're flowers fully bloomed and straight for 2 weeks.
True. If you're a fucking like, oh, soft dicks feel bad or whatever, then like you're being transphobic. Let's be real here, okay? And second of all, no, it doesn't. It just feels like a soft dick. What do you want? It's what it's squishy. What's it's bad? It's squishy.
Are boobs bad?
What do you people want?
Well, what do you want? Yeah, what, like so. Everyone, I thought everyone agreed soft dicks were cute.
No. Only hard dicks. Rock hard, pulsing, veiny fucking dicks. That's all anybody wants.
That is also
soft shit out of here. Come on. Come back when it's hard.
This is like gatekeeping, but doing it like with the straight guys. Like you're all just sitting there watching the game and you're like judgmentally scanning the room to see if there are any like missing bulges in the gray sweatpants.
The Flaccid Blowy Podcast.
One of the boys' bulge disappears. And you're like, hey, Johnny, I thought you were having a good time. Well, you're soft. You're soft with your boys. You're going to get soft like that right here in front of my wife. You're going to get soft in front of my wife. Like bring some beers in, you know, this would be good. This is positive heterosexuality right here. This is positive masculinity.
Yep, absolutely. This is ethical bullying we're doing right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah, I think we're gonna wrap it up. Vosh, thanks for joining us. A pleasure as always.
It's been a delight. I wish I could say that it was a brief distraction from the news cycle. This is definitely a better way of going through it than the normal news coverage, though. Thank you very much for having
yes,
me.
Yes.
Lovely to speak to you.
Next time we'll just have 2 hours of Jared content. It'll be better.
Yeah.
Have a wonderful day.
Have a good one, man.
Good night, everybody.
Take care.